Because I think so is from our committee. So I just like to know why, what reason didn't happen anything for the adjustment. Then I think you also highlight for the net profit margin from the water board. And from the morning, this AG office, I think it's AG presentation, they have the 2012 is the margin profit, net profit. I think it's big boy is rainwater is the margin net profit on 11%. Then the next year, 2013-14, from the presentation is over the 15%, I think, is near the 17%, and other gaining water is 37%. Is the last year, but this year, from your market, or your margin, the profit is about 17%. I'd like to know from your startup side, for the regarding is the top 10 list of municipality of the water board, and from the is the follow for this water board, I think it's special for 5 municipality, top 10, all the city board. Then you highlight is some water board are budgeting for high profit in order to succeed by the bank with respect to interest cover. So, I don't know, you say is some this water board, which water board is make the higher margin for the profit. If you can say to us, I wonder, I'd like to know which who and which water board is. Because it's from this AGD report, I think it's net profit, the higher one is only for the overpay, over and gain 37%. So from the your margin is not anything over the 16-17%. So what do you think is for the from the your presentation? Also last question, I just say Saga all the organization by the all the country municipalities. And now is the water board from 12 reduced to the 9 water board. From your Saga side, what is your comment? Is it good or the same or the not good for reducing the water board from 12 to 9? Because your municipality members store all the water board big amount. So I'd like to get some of the comment from your side. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duenga.
Thank you very much, Chair. During the presentation, the presenter said that equitable share is not catching up with the increases. So, now, I would like to ask Saga's staff and involvement ensuring that the equitable share is used for the correct amount and that the debt that the municipalities are owing to the water board are actually made by the equitable share. It's no use for Saga demanding that these increases take place when the municipalities are ignoring paying the water board. Hence the problem that by experiencing with some of the water boards not being able to carry out their functions properly because of lack of funds. That's the first question. The second question I'd like to see clarity on. The Auditor General's financial year 2011-2012 outcome. They say very clearly the municipalities that are unqualified and fall in order, etc. Yes, if we look at Saga's report on page 3, according to compliance section 42, municipalities, for instance, like Pelagos, which is green and clear and all okay according to the Auditor General report, according to Saga's report, it says that it requires significant improvement. I would like Saga to explain to me what is the significant improvement that the essentially that they had to tell us how to do, which Auditor General hadn't picked up according to your information.
Yeah.
As far as the tariff structure goes, you're advocating for the review itself. No, definitely not. And I support the chair, and I'm sure the rest of the committee will support the chair as well. And we don't need regulation. We need an efficient structure, and I think what we have is more than sufficient. If, further to that, if we look at page 25 of the presentation, the increased cover and the benchmark of the regulator and the profit margin, has further taken into consideration the debt that the water boards are incurring, particularly electric at land water, has looked at those profit margins in conjunction with debt they have to incur in order to improve the infrastructure and both infrastructure as well as maintenance. Where must that come from? The funding come from? That has to be covered somewhere along the line. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Mangania?
Thank you very much, Chair. Also said the presenter from Salsa. Most of the questions honourable members have already covered me, but lastly let me comment one of the questions that have been asked by Honourable Wenger, the one of compliance. I just want to ask further, do you know sometimes this water board and the Department of Water, they go to an extent of performing the municipality duty to give the people water? I'll give you a typical example on that one that I'm talking about. Mahalis Water went all out because your institution that you are presenting here, when the staff strike, the seal of the valve of the pump that takes water to the community, if the community will call Mahalis, Mahalis will go and perform that duty. They don't get even extra money for doing that. Do you sometimes, when you are with the municipality, highlight this issue of burdening other entities like water board by not doing performing their duty properly? So,
thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Cortana.
Chairperson, we listened very much attentively on the report of SALC. But there is an important thing that I want to quote here, each of increments. Increment will happen within municipality, water board and the department. It's there, it will happen. But the only issue is the method or the process in which it must be done. There will be negotiations, talking, questioning, and so on. That one is there. It must happen, but through process. Secondly, Chair, this issue of increment from water board, if I've been with municipalities, as a water user, it must not be an issue that will formulate a battlefield or something that will cause SALC and water board to fight on this matter. According to the report of SALC, I hear some other statements within the report that shows very clearly that SALC and water board are at loggerheads about this issue of increment. And guns are out, they are fighting. Now we want to appeal to you. Let us not fight and engage one another. And if we resist, our resistance must be genuine on facts in correcting what is not correct within the request from the board. And I didn't hear SALCA talking about the depth of the municipality. SALCA is an association of the municipality. In simple terms, it's the size steward of the municipality. But I don't hear anything or report as far as depth are concerned in the municipality. The municipalities are owing the department a lot of money. What is your view on that? Because in your report, you didn't cover that. The yield is only this one of the increment, but what is your view? And what turnaround strategy can you come up with at Salka? Because Salka is a combination of different of municipalities and incentives and administration. What mechanism are these councillors deployed in Salka vis-a-vis with the best of the municipalities? How are you going to address this? Because we need an assistance. At the portfolio committee, we want all water users to pay what they consume from us, from the department. But as the strategy says, must get the sense, and at least the sympathy from Salah to say we sympathize with you because our municipalities are owing you. What is your statement on this? We want that statement to be clear now, sir, so that we can know exactly what, how are we going to assist one another in dealing with this. Thank you, sir.
In your report, you have mentioned that you have set recommendations to the department to evolve the fire water. But the department has not taken you seriously for the recommendations. So I want to know how is your working relationship between the department and the SALGA? Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I have a question to SALGA. In 2006, the Tianza-Manje project was introduced in the municipality by the DSA. It provided very critical skills to municipalities that could not afford to employ the engineers themselves. This has subsequently been abandoned and, of course, diluted between the COPSA and the Department of Finance. And I'd like to know from SALGA, how effective is this new formula, and how many engineers have been provided to the municipalities, and how effective is the project at the moment in comparison to what it used to be? Thank you.
Can I just, Mr. Bakir, head of the delegation, you know, last time you guys were here, I said I was very disappointed in your input because of a certain reason, and Mr. Kassan has raised the reason, that it's no problem, you come and raise whatever you want. But the issues where the municipalities are at fault, I mean, last time you didn't come say a single word here. We then said we're disappointed by it, you guys don't come say a single word again about it. And there were two things we raised, the one that Mrs. Kosai raised. I mean, at the moment, I thought it was worse, but at the moment you guys owe the water board $1.3 billion. And you owe the department $1.5 billion. That's $2.8 billion. That is being held back. Last time when we engaged the water boards, there weren't even really disputes about the money. It was just a question of not paying it. Now, you see what Mrs. Kosana is saying is, on one hand, in the input that was given by Mr. Kolisa, was that doesn't seem that anything happens when they come and make inputs here. Well, that's not true, of course. It may seem to you like that, but the mere fact that you can tell her that there have been changes in the attitudes of the water boards and so on, it's clear that whatever we are doing, at least it's having some effect, maybe not all effect. Now, the problem I have is that equally, where we need you guys to play a more meaningful role, which is where local government is failing. We're not hearing. You may be doing things. You may be doing things. I don't know. You may be making statements that Ms. Kutsal, I just don't know, because we're not told about them. So I think that's the one area that you guys need to come and tell us also what you're doing. I mean, you know, maybe the municipality where you live, yourself, there's not a problem. But remember that the problems are where the poorest of the poor are and where the least capacity. That's where they're not paying the money, and we're not being able to provide these services because of that. And we need someone to take a stand on this. I mean, it's much stronger if it comes from you guys. So again, I'm disappointed there, John. I mean, I must say, I found your inputs quite interesting. There's a lot of very interesting stuff in it. And I thought some of your charts were very useful and so on. So I'm not denouncing the fact of that. But the problem is, those are the big issues. You see, the issue about chemicals, you say, chemical cost rising. One of the reasons we're paying more for chemicals is because municipalities are not keeping their water treatment plants up to scratch, so all that water is coming back into the rivers, and then we're paying more money on chemicals too. You see, there, the problem in that case there is a huge one for the municipality side. Again, we don't hear what you guys are saying to your municipalities. So I'm just saying this as a point of context, that you understand the issues that are being raised by members. Because we raised it on the last occasion as well. Again, we don't have any response. So I said, yeah, now you're going to leave here, and I'm not going to know whether Salga is doing something or is going to do something about these municipalities that are not playing ball. And I said this yesterday, I'm saying it again. If there's any politician that can tell me that what they're doing in those councils by not spending the money that was given for water infrastructure, spending on other stuff, and they think they can justify that, I want them to come and stand here and say this to the nation. So we'd like to hear them, who these politicians are. Because these decisions have been taken by government at the national level. That money is for water infrastructure. It's being spent on other stuff. And we're not hearing from Salga to say to your members, stop this. We say stop this. You must start using that money for the people there that are on the ground. Don't go use it to build roads and build fancy offices and stuff. Don't spend it on water infrastructure. So again, I want to emphasize from the committee side. It's disappointing if you guys don't come and address the problems that are on your side. As far as the things you've raised about weaknesses, about the reporting and consultation, I want you to understand again, which I said last time here. We do not accept at all that water boards do not comply with their legislative requirements. If the legislative requirements say that there's a consultation process that must take place with Salga, they say to us there are some that have improved on this, but there's still some water boards that are not doing this. I want you to, in the strongest term, reprimand those that haven't done it properly. The ones that have now fixed up their houses, why can't the other ones do it? It's easy to consult and to generally consult and hear people's views. That's what democracy is all about. You may not agree with the views, but you might give the chance for them to... So those water boards that are still not performing correctly according to Salga, we must absolutely reprimand them in the strongest term. And the department must this time see that those ones that are not doing the thing properly, they do it properly, okay? I'm putting the responsibility on you, Toko, okay? Because now you'll be coming here every year and we're hearing that the water board hasn't consulted with Salga. And illegally so. I don't agree with Salga's solution that we mustn't then give a tariff increase. You can't do that. How do you punish the people in that area to get money for infrastructure because the municipality, their water board hasn't done the thing properly? You can't do that. But the point that they're making is that is a legal prescription that people are not complying with. At the very least, there has to be consultation. Now they have to feel that they're given proper opportunity to listen to. You know, water boards are not doing it. I wanted to have this discussion again next year. I don't want to hear this complaint again. Those water boards that are now fixed up the problem. I mean, if they can do it, why can't these one or two that are still making us around not do it? So you guys must make sure, if the Act says these things must be done, you must have a checklist that you've phoning those water boards and saying, have you actually consulted with Salga? And when you get these documents in the department, but say, why haven't you consulted with Salga? When you see they haven't consulted. Okay. We can't just let the water boards not do things that they think they have to do, okay? And I'm talking only about those that didn't do it. I'm not talking about the ones, of course, that have had it. So, likewise, I don't want to hear this problem again. It's improved, but it's not improved enough, okay? And you guys must take responsibility for this offer to make sure it happens, all right? Okay, those are all the questions and all the responses. If you guys can, Mr. Bakir, if you can respond to
that. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm sitting here, I don't want to sit here and thumb suck things here and then tell me what I've done. I mean, in terms of the data and the area, I'm also only signing in for the chairperson of this working group. So I would like to, I mean, the official sitting here and who did the presentation, they can answer some of it, but surely I will go back to National Saga and we will have a meeting towards the end of this month, and the place there and put this in front of them. Because it can't be that we will sit here, I mean, and question other parties about our own house is not in order. I will surely go and then put them on the
table. See why it's important that you do it? Because we've engaged Treasury strongly now to to change the funding model. If we can't, if we're giving the municipalities, that is the consequence. I'm just trying to tell you what the consequences are. If we're giving money to municipalities for warnings and they're not spending it, then we have to change the funding model. That is why the questions were asked. Why is it that we're giving these people the equitable share, the water part of it, if we know they're not going to spend it? See, that's the consequence now. Now we're getting into huge political discussions on the funding model just because there are some of your members that are not doing playing the ball. The vast majority are playing ball. Those three big ones, municipalities, and then the other one, you saw the list this morning when Treasury gave the input. Those ones are now pulling us back, and we now have to look at different ways of funding things because they're not playing ball. So that's the consequence. And that's why I'm saying that people are going to listen more when you raise it because you know what the consequences for the rest of local government. Because there's some people that are not playing ball. Now the politicians on this side are questioning, but now why can these not play ball but the 9% play ball? So now we have to do something about the 10%. SADC's not doing something about it, so let's do something about it. Talk to Treasury about it. See, that's the consequence we're now getting into. Now you can get into huge debate around between SADC and national government. That's why SADC has to be in the forefront of solving the problem. For us, okay? So that's why we're raising it. But thanks, I hear what you're saying. All right, can we have a response?
Thanks, Chef. I'll share the question between myself and then I'll go to William. Maybe I'll start from the last comment or question. Definitely, Chef would appreciate an opportunity come and present from the commission in terms of what SADC is doing. In the case of this particular presentation, we understood it to be that we need to be talking about bulk water tax. So we're talking specifically instead of that. But we do ask you to hear the call that we need to come back and help you put in program so that you can say what are the other issues and what are we doing about it. Welcome the opportunity. The other question
I think you guys can do it now.
Okay.
Because you see, this area is closed on the bulk. The areas are because of, it's not being open. So it's the same problem, but a different problem. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other things also you're doing, but this is about this, about the water board, they're providing services, bulk carrot, aka bulk water. And that is where the 1.5 billion that you owe to the partner for the bulk orders, they sell directly to the government. The 1.3 billion that's outstanding in arrears from the facility is the money that you should be paying to the water board. So it's two days all for bulk water that's being provided. And it's all to do with what you're dealing with here. So, you know, you guys need to, the mistakes on your side and the problems on your side being what your ministers are not doing. That's true, that's coming before us. Not just,
to indicate for now, on some of the few things we also do, and the municipalities as to why there isn't payment of buses that there should have been. And I'm saying it's not a complete picture that I'm going to be giving you, but I'll mention just two. Of the resident municipalities, which needs to correct also from the municipality point of view. One of them is high level of water losses in the distribution infrastructure of municipalities. We then got to understand why do we have that. Of course, it's the old infrastructure that we have that needs to be refurbished or needs to be replaced. Now, better engaging municipalities. Why then are we not doing, or are we not fixing and replacing this infrastructure? The explanation then comes. So most of this infrastructure that is old and dilapidated now and needs to be replaced is infrastructure. It is infrastructure that is in the relatively developed areas of the municipalities, the CBDs, the suburbia of the municipalities. There is a historical context to it that municipalities inherited this infrastructure, it was certainly a minority of the consumers. And a decision that the country took was that we need to extend services there first instead of investing in rehabilitating the infrastructure that is serving a minority. And municipalities themselves, they did that. Part some of the infrastructure was even older at that time when they were established, and they were saying that maybe have been following in the past month or so, Salga was saying we need to find our own solution to this problem, because they are saying that there are too many constraints that we need to solve. One thing about that is going to solve as a local government. The third constraint is therefore trying to find money to refurbish this infrastructure. Accepting that this infrastructure is in the economically better off areas of municipalities, clearly it cannot be done money that comes from the additional fiscal consumers in this area are going to pay for that. Hence the talk now we're talking about putting in a revolving fund for the refurbishment of infrastructure. Salga is leading that particular discussion. We're engaging the areas and gay treasury about how best to do that. So that municipalities can then be able to use that money to refurbish infrastructure. Part of the issue is that municipalities, many of them, with probably with the exception of the metro, they don't have financial to go out to the market and borrow. So we need another mechanism that will help them to borrow, because we know those consumers, if they have borrowed and they are spending that money there, those consumers will be able to pay. Now, that's the whole idea of a collective revolving fund of municipalities, where they collectively contribute, they call it a stock sale of municipalities, where they collectively contribute, and that stock sale goes up to the market to borrow and be able to fund municipalities that are not able to go themselves to the market to that and invest. So that is part of the talk that are taking place within local government about how to fund instead of going to treasury to pay fund this, because we don't think that treasury should help us fund everything that is needed to fund it. But that's one part. The second part of it is the skills. There are cases in which even if we had all the money needed, we just simply don't have the skills to spend that money appropriately. Now, we in our engagement department of higher education and the speakers, we are in the process of formulating a way in which we could have a targeted program of producing priority skills that could be used in the technical fields that are responsible for municipalities. Because we know that us alone as municipalities, we cannot do that. We think us, in cooperation with water board, in cooperation with ECO, in cooperation with the speakers, and of course, the community of education, we need to have a program that 5 years down the line, we don't have the kind of fair again, we don't have the appropriate skills. We need to have the targeted way of doing that. I'm just highlighting some of the things that we are starting to try and solve what municipalities present to us as a problem. I've talked about the leaking water and so on, but there is a bigger issue here that I think is important. It's appropriate to talk about it here in the community. I think now for about 5 years, as far as I've been in Zambia, the analysis done by organized local government has indicated that of the 38 functions that are constitutional functions of municipalities, only 4 of them are taken into account in working out the equitable share that is allocated to a municipality. So, and that equitable share is for the whole in respect of those 4 services. Whatever is being one of them. Now, the other 34 functions that still have to be provided to the pool can only be subsidized from the rate account of the municipality. We're charging more rates for those rights to pay, and there's a limit to the extent that each can be done. Now, in a small municipality, and there's a number of them that are in the case, if you move from a premise that a municipality has to raise according to the current formula of funding, of the framework of funding of government, particularly at the local level, a municipality, according to this framework, is supposed to be raising 80% of the revenue that is required to provide services. And 20% comes from the national fiscal, for example, or some cases even 90 and then 10%. Now, we have many municipalities whose income is just the income coming from the national fiscal. Some of them are water service authority municipalities. In terms of they get the share in respect of them. What that means is that those municipalities are operating at 10 to 20% of the revenue that they require for them to be able to function in the municipality. So they are they are just there's a funding gap for the work that they need to do. Now they are saying, in that situation, you don't have the luxury of saying advantage or disadvantage. Your own disadvantage goes into transbalance people. They don't understand how they find themselves when they operate. Now, we've raised this clear question as an issue. And I think when we were in Parliament in the local government, after we have explained this particular matter and used case study to show the National Council of Provinces in that discussion of the local government, came out saying that there is a need to prioritize and speed up the review of the funding framework of local government. It's manifest itself in the electricity sector and so on. I mean, all of it. Something that let's keep that also as part of the bigger problem. Of course, within that context, municipalities that things that they are not supposed to do must be held accountable for those. Within that context, we are not saying that all of those things justify the things that local government needs to do in their municipalities. There could be other things that they could forego in terms of their expenditure, prioritizing the actual delivery of services. I think that should be done better, and that's what the government is doing. There was a question about Mr. Independent Manager. I think honorable member will have to come back with the statistics about the effectiveness of Mr. Independent Manager. But the impression that we have now that because Mr. Independent Support Agency established by the Department of Corporate Governance, that has taken over the work that was being done by Independent Manager. Because it has been in the establishment phase, we do have a sense that it has been rather a decline in the amount of support that has gone to municipalities and circles, but I think we can compare with the numbers. What is the relationship, or what is the relationship between SALA and the economic water service? There is a good relationship amongst that. I think that we cooperate with the department on a number of things, but I think in the case of tariff setting processes, I think there are areas in which SALGA has been unhappy, or municipalities have been unhappy, as we make the example here, but it is not a reflection of the overall nature of the relationship between the two departments. And it seems that in the context of the cordial relationship between the two, it is possible to find each other. But we think it's important not to raise these issues in this particular process, rather than to say, won't raise them, hopefully we will engage and find a solution. Municipality, what is our view of this? As has been indicated by our colleague Professor Gwaza when she presented, SALGA is part of the Minister's tax team that is dealing with the municipality. In as much as we are also cooperating with ESCOM in dealing with GET, also municipality to ESCOM, which is another big story that we have to deal with. The intention is to understand each and every case and try and find a solution cooperatively with those municipalities. I think to the extent that Treasury indicated that part of this, a big part of this debt is over 120 years, 120 days, sorry. and a big part of it is interest, therefore, that it has accumulated. And part of it is related to the handover of liabilities when municipalities were established. It's something that means that we have to do each and everything. And we have said when we participate in the country, we are very keen to be together with the team, go into each and every municipality. And to the extent that SALGA has access to political leadership, because sometimes administration would find solutions, but they don't find favor for political leadership of a municipality. SALGA will take that role to make sure that solutions that are found in relation to resolving debt by specific municipalities do find themselves in the decision making of the fiscal leadership of municipalities, so they do take the right decision. Do we highlight the extent which burden municipalities, which municipalities burden what for example, by not performing their own functions? I think we have to accept that there are many cases of that where water boards have been called upon to really come in that place. But part of what was indicated to municipalities, and they themselves acknowledge that a big part of our problem in provision of services relate to which is something that is within control of council, following the proper systems and section 78 process, and agree and decide on which is the best mechanism of provision of the service in a particular area. Leaders of municipalities and federal and national conference have noted that we have not done well as local communities, but it has been put as a priority that is driving the communication with municipalities. That you cannot just assume because we have a function in terms of the competition. Therefore, we have to perform using the municipality. When that municipality is actually a problem, that we have to appropriate the policy example set by other municipalities that have set a concern to get out of the situation that we are in. What is the best mechanism to deliver services? Joe has seen that when they were in crisis. They ended up charging that they established utilities. Those utilities and money has been able to deliver services effectively. Why can't another municipality do the same? So it is a priority agenda, a program of SALGA to conscientize the now relatively not so new councils. As I say, we need to take these decisions. And when we decide that it will be a water board that is the best appropriate to do this, we must then go get into long-term contracts with them to deliver this. Because it doesn't help give a one-year contract to a service provider of municipal services to deliver a service. Because these kind of services, by their nature, they involve capital expenditure, huge capital commitment by the service provider. So that's it's a high priority that we are pushing as a in the, among the leadership of Salga. Comments on the reduction of water boats. I think the other one, William, is going to respond to them. Comments on the reduction of water boats from 9 to 12. What we are currently doing, you may have noticed that the minister has not started to share openly the thinking about the restructuring of water boats. It's not officially with Balka so far. But what we are currently doing in preparation for that to happen is that we are involved currently in that to review the bulk institutional and funding arrangement for provision of services. The institutional and funding arrangement for provision of bulk services in municipalities. There it came out of a realization that in many of our municipalities, part of the problem is that there isn't bulk services that are provided. Now we go to the structure sector. Many of these sectors, bulk services are a responsibility of district municipalities that is outside the network. But what we're noticing is that not much investment at least by those municipalities has taken place in budget. As a member saying, let's understand what is the problem that is led to this. Other than that, the adjustment of powers and functions consolidated bulk and institution infrastructure hidden in the area of water to municipalities level to web district and local. It will be the local. But the time, why then have we not managed to take up this function and so I can be able to engage meaningfully with the department, what the department does to discuss. There are very strong views, I must say, that are coming out of that exercise of consulting municipalities and preparation for this. For example, in the incentive, others are making a very strong point about whether the precautions of Mzimbuja may not necessitate a different institution as opposed to having a water board that has head offices all over the place. Others are saying, probably we need to build on the nuclear water board for resiliency to manage them. So we are trying to sit and get local government to think alike in terms of what is the solution to the issue of bulk infrastructure. So they were currently taking it to meet halfway the work when the minister comes to the local government to discuss this. Why were there adjustments without implementing a committee decision? Honourable member raised that question. I think it's a question that can best be answered by the department. Because we were expecting that flowing from that decision, then there would be consultation and probably changes. But what we are finding, which is why we are raising this question here again, is that whatever seems to be the implementation to all the tariff cabled in this portfolio committee, that is parliament in general, to be a foregone conclusion. Once the minister decides that I'm getting this parliament, essentially, that is a decision. So,
the law doesn't give the minister all the powers to him.
Yes.
That's the law doesn't allow it.
So that's what I'm raising, the picture that I'm raising, that with that. This process, the involvement of the minister, the involvement of parliament, it seems to us that it is getting to a step in an administrative process, rather than a step in a decision making, because that could change.
Well, it's the minister's process that is slightly politicized without the power to change.
Yes. But I think the point we're just making this is that local government would like to have confidence that that will not provided for in the legislation, that no, actually in the Municipal Finance Management Act, that no bulk services tariff would increase if they are not presented in Parliament by a particular year. Would have wanted to think that the intention was not just for Parliament to know that it is going to happen, but to afford public representatives an opportunity to influence those kind of increases, whether it's electricity or it's water. But it doesn't appear that we've managed to achieve that as a country. And
the law doesn't say so we can't.
But we think that's
the change law.
It's something that
gives Parliament the power to change, and we can change. We haven't got that power.
Okay.
And neither has the minister got the power. The minister has got obviously strong moral persuasion that he can put pressure on the water thing. But he cannot change.
So it's something that I think let's highlight it in the as part of the issue that as a sector we may want to deal with and come back to Parliament. Probably as a member of the NOC, we may want to also look at it when we make suggestions about what needs to change to improve our system.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I'll speak on two, three questions. The first one relates to municipal ability to manage their wastewater. That will contribute to deteriorating water quality at the resource level. We do have a program that we've put in place. Firstly, we do have a training session with municipalities in the quest for them to be able to achieve the green crop certification that has been initiated by the Department of Water Affairs. To date, we can proudly say we've had a total of 6 training sessions to really access municipalities to be able to meet the desired standard of effluent that they need to discharge in the resource. So that's something that we could give the chair when you come back to present to Parliament and define precisely how we're doing that. Secondly, if one looks at the municipal infrastructure grant, the MIC in terms of infrastructure, it does the conditions. So municipalities would not necessarily spend that money willy-nilly as they wish because there are monitoring processes that COCTA is monitoring in terms of how that fund is actually spent. And what's nice about the MIC, particularly for the ones allocated to DN, is actually even subdivided to LM level. So if you have a sunny district municipality, you could easily see where the allocations that DN needs to spend in terms of water sanitation from infrastructure point of view per LM. So that is kind of a step in the right direction. So we have prepared a consolidated report that addresses some of these questions that members have raised. We can actually make it available so that members could read further in terms of some of the arguments that we made, because the presentation was just a high level indication in terms of some of our conclusions. Thanks. There was a question about pellet rate improvement. What we say in there, Chairperson, is the quality of the submission that panelist gave us at SADA, in some respects, we could not make a determination in terms of whether we need to agree with their tariffs or not, firstly. But secondly, because majority of their water goes for the providing mines, maybe they don't see any need to submit a comprehensive input or submission to SAUDA. In essence, they don't comply with the bulk water guideline that has been developed by the Department of Water. So in such cases, we are really unable to make a decision on that.
So all the Section 42 processes, you say, are not compliant with, not their general management account. That's the one that I said that so far they must make sure that there's proper consultation and use the proper.
Then there's one question here that perhaps we may have missed, that was raised by these two members, about which municipalities seem to be budgeting for or planning for, which water portal seem to be planning for bigger public margins. In this, we have highlighted our presentation. Slide number 12, which of those and put them there, and as well as the ones that are not in the circle would be these two. But then the related question is, have we looked at this in relation to the debt that has been serviced by those couples? We picked that point, I think, in our presentation we've made that to say, in fact, it's a bigger question of how do you finance infrastructure development of water boards to answer that question. Instead of each water board having to make a determination that this is the amount of debt that I recommend. The presentation by Treasury is a starting point, the exact benchmark in terms of hearing of water board information to get and therefore how to finance that debt, which is currently pretty much very dependent on tariff financing. I mean, the repayment of that particular. So we're raising that as a saying that the current, we think with the current approach to financing of infrastructure investment, and this is a question that we've raised also in the case of ESCOM, that the current financing of infrastructure investment, which is much dependent on the investor going out to the market to borrow and invest in this, and then the charge gets adjusted significantly high so that we can refinance that debt, is leading to high increases in bulk services such as electricity, such as water. So there's a need for us as a country to rethink this. Hence, we're positing it as an issue for a discussion rather than something that we have to penalize this. We're highlighting during this presentation what is currently happening and saying that we then need to have as a country a discussion about how best to finance infrastructure in such a way that we can smooth increases and not in the situation where our increases respond to the lumpiness of infrastructure investment. So that's basically the big issue I raised there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate it. If you want to send that report to us, that will be welcome. Members, I'm sure, would like to. There are so many councillors here. Huh? And then they say there's another report that's done, not this one. Another report. Is it the same? Which one? Any case, we'll have a look at it. Thank you very much. As I said, Mr. Bakir, for you and your delegation, there was a lot of value and input which we appreciate, we take on board, but also there's things lacking in the input which we need you to engage on and tell us. So thank you very much, Mr. Salva. Thanks. Okay, that's all the prior input. We now start with Rand Water. The big boys with the big bucks, with the big salaries. Now you'll hear how it's done. Hollywood style. Not Gangnam style. Hollywood style. I want to see them do that dance here. These are the rich boys. Okay. Rand Water, welcome. One thing, luckily, we don't have the power to change the tariff, but we do have the power to change the salary scale. So let's see how well you perform. Over to you, Rand Water. Welcome. Nice being here. And You guys can start.
Chair, my name is Mututu Pechani. I'm the chairperson of Rainwater. As you can see, I'm a very small boy. I am accompanied by the chief executives and Mr. Tawanda Nandoro. There are other members. The CE will do the presentation on our behalf. But before you present, Chair, I have taken the liberty with your permission. I would love to raise two main issues up front. One is that in the last 2 years, the relationship with the department has improved dramatically. I'm not saying this because we are sitting next to me, Chair, but you know, we've received tremendous support, including working together on some of the projects. The minister herself has helped us a lot on a number of issues and given us support. However, there are two issues, Chair, that I want to raise. One is with regard to Botshelo Water. We have been given mandate to do work and support Botshelo as well as Bushbuck Ridge. I must say, never mind what has been said earlier in the House, we are really not doing justice to Botshelo Water and the people of that area. It's a matter of serious concern. From where I'm sitting, especially with the capacity at Rainwater, I think we can do better to benefit the communities that have been supported by Botshelo and that have been supported by Bushbuck. And I know people, you say you've been doing a lot, but I think we can do much better if we really hold our hands and can improve the lives of those communities. Lastly, before our presentation, Chair, one of the highlights of the last financial year was that Rainwater established an academy. We got the blessing of the minister to establish an academy. It was also in consultation through our minister and the Minister of Higher Education to really improve capacity and skills in the sector. Well, it's not really in the sector, it's for the country because, you know, labor is mobile. Once people are knowledgeable, they tend to go wherever they wish. As the CE present, you will see that the entity is growing, both financially, capacity, thus ensuring a sustainable supply of quality water. We want to thank the committee, the department, the minister, and all our stakeholders. And having said all of that, I think Mr. Chairman will share with you, Chair, and the committee a good news. It does not imply we don't have challenges, but we tend to ignore them and just focus on the good work. Thank you.
It's quite easy to handle challenges with a big salary. If we did a small salary, then it's really difficult to handle challenges. Ask the other water board. Now, those are words well found. I'm very interested in this academy story. We'll get on to that some detail. Okay.
Honorable Chair, honorable members. I think here you've just given a solution to the problem. You can just pay everybody else appropriate problems to go out.
We're lucky that Rainwater is going to provide us the money to do so.
I need to first apologize. We have changed the presentation and moved some slides around. The reason for that was we had spent the time looking at the implications of the FM tariff on the water board. And we actually attacked the whole thing. So the presentation is slightly different. But what you had asked, and I think there has been some support. Members will see that there's a black and white presentation in terms of the nice colorful ones that you have in front of you. It's the updated one because you didn't want to have to talk to this thing and then the slides that you do not recognize. But that's because all of these other, I don't know whether to say improvement or activities in relation to the ESCOM tariff came after our submission. So we had to now just adjust accordingly. So we really are saying it could be better, but we have to deal with the situation as is. The first slide that we have been seeing, we've moved it around. These are just the key strategic drivers in terms of what we look at as rainwater going forward. We're looking at quantity and quantity of raw water. We're looking at what we call growth initiatives. And I'll come back to the whole issue of growth initiatives here, because what we try to do as well, or what we now are embarking upon, is to try and also diversify our revenue stream so that we are not fully dependent for our programs on tariffs in terms of how to fund our infrastructure. And hopefully by the time we finish with the presentation as well, we'll also try and demystify this whole thing that there's now these big profits and people don't know what we do with them, so we'll also be able to demystify that. But on top of that, in terms of our own strategy, we started looking at saying we need to diversify our revenue stream because we can't just be dependent on the tariffs. And I think the advocate has spoken about the Renault Academy, which we'll get to. And every year, obviously, we review our risk as a business, and the reviewer looks at top 10, but it also looks at whether it's top 20 or top 100. But we focus on this and make sure that our strategy in the coming years really speak to the risks as they come up. So we look at mitigation and make sure that that's part of our strategy, looking at the rainwater of 2020. And in aligning with government, we look at a presidential outcome, and I think there are some slides that speak to that. And as an organization, how prepared are we for all the changes that are happening, whether it's in our center or as some of the discussions today have taken place, from a point of view of how do we deal with some of the challenges. We've come here before and spoke about our capital infrastructure program, and I remember the chair saying, are you saying all this money we're just spending on infrastructure? What about the other municipalities? So we started adjusting to all some of these different challenges that we have. And we started looking at our sanitation, and I think even the presentation from SALGA, from National Treasury, and even from the department started talking about that yet. And I think even from your side, you did speak about the fact that on the bulk sanitation side, things are not happening the way they are supposed to. So that's one strategic area that we're looking at. And these are some of the things that we teased out of what we call growth initiatives. Because looking only at water and not addressing the sanitation issues is a big problem, given the fact that we are a water-scarce country. And for us as water, what we think, we need to be looking at how much of that water can we reclaim. For now, this is all over. You have Department of Water Affairs, you have COPSIA with municipalities, and then you have Human Settlement Department, and all of these things are spread all over the place. And we think it's quite important to actually bring them together, because naturally they need to be close to each other, and we need to reuse much of the water that we have, because we are not blessed with water as a country. And the latest one that we've included is rural development. We always say we're very lucky to be in a position where there are three metros, and I think if everything goes well, even one of the districts now, Sidibe and Mfuleni, would become a metro. So you don't have a lot of rural-related challenges, per se, is the primary thing. The minister has actually given us instruction and said she wants to see us also doing a rural development, even if it's outside our space, because that's where you have a lot of problems. And at this age, the capacity sits primarily because of our size with us as well. And maybe I also need to address this issue, share or say, part of most of the things that we do, we don't use a lot of consultants. And the department actually come to us and said, let's understand how many skills we have, what kind of skills we have in the sector, in terms of engineers, looking at artisans, looking at people that are really operational, so to speak. And our findings are that in most cases, with exceptions of a few of the structures, we outsource these functions, and we end up running structures that do not have the quality of skills that we need. Probably that's why I'm asking, we are looking at the academy. But what we say is, it might not mean that if you look at our headcount, it's a huge picture. You might find that other people still use that money, but we actually outsource it because we're using consultants for this. What we try to do is actually say, most of the things we do in-house, and we need to make sure that there's a sector. If government says, because we are an arm of government, we need this to be done in the water sector, all around the issues, you have the skills within the public space that can actually be utilized. And that's proving to be something worthwhile in terms of how we're doing things. I'll try and just skim through this one, because I think we only talk about this thing in terms of our size that we've been in existence for 110 years, but members can read the particular slide. The next one, this just shows our pumping and distribution elevation from where we get the water to where some of our customers are. Just highlighting that if you look between Sekerbosch, which is the lowest point there, and Klepper-Vierberg, which is the highest point in terms of where our reservoirs are, electricity plays a major role in terms of our pumping requirements. So we always say, water boards run different businesses.
ours is such that we are very far from our coast, but as well, our customers are on the right end. We are at the bottom in terms of operations, and we need to pump water. Some of the water boats have the large amount of water coming to them, so they are gravity free. So that's why the tariffs are different. There was a question earlier around why is it that the price looks like it's the same, and the issues that follow it raises the requirement to say, this is a volume business, and the more you can actually bulk some of your activities, the better it will be in terms of economies of scale. And I think we can prove that if you look at our tariffs, that are the tariffs of other people. So the analysis that has been done by people that spoke before us always looks at this and to say, but why are the pricing almost at the same level, but we say in the status of each of the water hosts is different. It is like that, but if you start looking at bulking and looking at whether you have the kind of experience and being able to take advantage of scale economies, it makes a big difference in terms of cost. And this is just showing the snapshot that I'm about to show to be on this particular issue. First of all, audit and performance snapshot, unqualified audit opinion, just in terms of performance, some of the issues that you are raising. We're sitting at 4.2% on disabilities. Our females in total workforce are around 30%, but we're looking at promoting females in management. They are sitting at 45%. And in terms of how we relate to the engagement level with our employees, we're sitting at 68%. And we say looking at benchmarks that are around the benchmark of 67%. In terms of credit ratings, really, which is the methodology that we use for pricing from the point of view of how we rate it. S&P, we're looking at that A, local currency, and triple B plus foreign currency. Obviously, there's a negative outlook in line with the sovereign, but we actually asked S&P to rate us differently, and we are actually above sovereign if they do that. Fitch rating, M1 in terms of plus on ZDF, short-term, and AA plus ZDF long-term. From a point of view of the quality of supply, product quality, it meets the South African National Standard 0241, plus one and two specifications, and ISO accreditation across everything that we do, whether it's OSH, corporate, labs, and all our plans. And in terms of BE, I think 92.4% in the target of 87. I need to also just highlight that, that because 50% of what we do, or our cost driver, is actually buying raw water, so we're speaking that element of where we buy water from the department. So it needs to be seen in that context as well. And we say from a point of view of how our customers look at us, the overall satisfaction is sitting also at 84%. So what we say in just in terms of this slide is, these are things that we do when we look at how we treat our customers versus how we treat our employees, but performance-wise, this is where we see. And again, this is without going into it, because I've done this in the previous years, just to show from a point of view of reporting how everything comes together from who do we report to, the Department of Inter General, National Parliament, which is what we're doing here, and National Treasury as well, and trying to actually ensure that our shareholder compact and businessmen takes into consideration all the different requirements. But above that is what the minister gave, because we actually take the compact of the minister with the president and actually undertake it to make sure that there is alignment in terms of that. So to some extent, much as there are boards of people sitting there, there is alignment in terms of what politically has to be done as well. Performance results, performance again, shareholder compact. Finance performance in terms of net profit margins, there you have the target and the result.
So, I think everyone can note that you, most of your targets you above all reaching.
Thank you, Jeff. The next one.
I think those two phases is a big plus around water without dimensions.
The next one relates to also outcome 4 and number 5 in terms of the presidential outcomes, and this focuses really on the number of jobs that we need to create, and this is looking in terms of the public space and what we've done, the work that we give to our contractors as well in terms of what needs to happen. The numbers on the side, you have the year, the total number of employees that are employed by our contractors, and we give them work or award them work. And you have the total, and this is between 2012 and 2017. Temporary staff, indirect by Rainwater Foundation, which is really responsible for CSI. Permanent new jobs within Rainwater, and we are talking also about the training that we'll be providing from the Rainwater Academy. And there's been a lot of discussions also about Sierra Manje from South as well. There's a portion in terms of how this thing is going to be closed properly, where we are in discussion with a particular department within National Treasury where we're taking over that part to just ensure that on the training side, there's some work that we're going to be doing in, with National Treasury to ensure that we can do this project properly.
And these are just some of the flagship projects that we're doing on the water there. Foundations are looking at water sanitation projects, food sanitation, municipal capacity building on operations and maintenance of water and wastewater treatment plants. And we do look at the employment of unemployed graduates as we do this thing. School rainwater harvesting, the city school water supply, wall leaks, water demand management and conservation as well. And this relates to rainwater and dewdrop status. And I think up to so far, we have actually been looking at the awards that we're getting. And I think at this particular point in time, all the municipalities in our space are actually compliant in terms of the dewdrop. And that's because of the how we work with them together to actually achieve this. Because one can actually say, we are the ones that clean the water, but we have to actually jointly look at that. So it's something that we're looking at. And because we're now talking about sanitation, and I think part of the presentation from South was talking to green drop status as well. We'll now be starting to work with municipalities to try and clean our space, whether we'll be able to tend that around as well and make sure that we operate at a particular level where we can get this kind of recognition. And this speaks to now our capital expenditure program and linked to outcome number 6. And what we see there is our commenting for 2015 to 2030 cycle, looking at projected growth in peak day demand, which is equal to 1,600 megaliters per day over 15 years. And if one looks at it, our primary system would be growing by that 1,600 megaliters per day. And then the 4 different colored systems are actually in booster stations where we say, where you split the 1,600 megaliters growth, where do you need to now increase your capacity? And this is what informs what we do in terms of our effect progress. The most important...
You're increasing it by 1,600 from those 4 projects?
From the primary system, but you need to make sure as it goes out, you now augment the... Because remember I said we are very far, we are over 60 kilometers away from our customers. So you need to clean the water, but because it's just gradient, we have booster stations somewhere in between, and you need to make sure that the extra capacity...
So this is generated in the primary system and then goes to boosters...
And then the boosters as well, you need to augment, and also the pipeline.
The other way around.
Okay. And this really is what informs our plans in terms of the information that we gather from our customers, our own research that we do in terms of what our capacity, these are the stations, our available capacity, new capacity, when should it come in, and the projected peak day demand in terms of megaliters. So this really is what informs our capital expenditure program in totality. I think we have been talking about it before. And what we're doing, and I know it was a question that was asked earlier, and not necessarily to us, that said, maybe also coming from Salga where they were saying you need to smooth the whole thing of how you invest. And maybe instead of doing it all at once or having big tanks, that can actually create a shock in terms of the tariff. The problem with that as well is, if you do it that way, you can't every 5 years go and look at, say, I had a pipe this side, I'm increasing to this side in 5 years. Then in another 5 years, you need to do that same as well. I agree with them in terms of the challenge. But on the other side, from our side, because of the size of the volumes and the water that we actually distribute, we need to make sure that whatever investment that we're making will come back to them after 2035. Because you can't go all after every 5 years and do this thing because it's going to be quite expensive. So the trick is to find the balance between the challenge that they're presenting, but as well understanding our business because you can't keep on digging because you don't see your infrastructure. So you need to make sure that it's robust enough to be able to last for a long time. I think that's why I say this is what we do. The last time we were in the market was almost 20 years ago. So this is in terms of our size of the time for us to be doing what we're doing. So I think it's quite important that we look at both sides, that we look at the solutions going forward. And these are just examples shared from a point of view of where in our systems and what is it that we're doing. And some of these things are actual photographs of the projects that we're doing, looking at how much we're spending on projects, when is budgeted and how much is budgeted for what year. Like here you have the B17, which is the Sager Hospital pipeline. 258 million budget for 2012-2013, and this is work in progress in terms of what you're doing. The engine room work that needed to be done, how much is it costing, where we budgeted for it. So there's a few slides that actually speak to this. So we'll just try to just pass through them. And you'll see the heading, the electricity heading that 1,600 megaliters per day growth from 2015 to 2030, additional purification plant, 1,200 megaliters capacity, additional raw water pipelines and purification plant upgrades. So you actually know exactly what is it that you're looking at and where are we going to do it and where does it sit on our network. Again, yes, demand growth reduction is not only seen with major plant augmentation. We're actually looking even at, say, in certain areas, like a way to, we need to prioritize water demand management to try and make sure that if we work with municipalities as well, we can look at dealing with demand in a different way, because all the solutions should not just be about increasing the size of the pipes or looking at things that cost money. And I think that's where we need to be working closely with municipalities themselves as well, and the department in terms of coming to solution with solutions on this issue. On outcome six, an efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network. For a number of years, there's been massive sewage discharge and pollution in the Vaal River. The source of pollution was identified as wastewater treatment plant owned by the local municipality. I think this is the point that you were making to South AVH. And since we've been involved, we've managed to improve effluent quality of wastewater treatment work from 40% to above 85%. And we're saying above 85%, some are 100% compliant. There's still just a few, and we are working with them in terms of pollution rollout. And the Western Area Regional Park Infrastructure, which would have made an extension of Hannes van Niekerk wastewater treatment works. And I think this is something that came because it was a special project that was identified by the Presidency and the Department of Water Affairs. So there are areas where we're looking in outside our space to actually assist. There's an example that has been made in terms of saying, how do we bring down, and I think that was one of the points that Kauza was making, to say, should we now be looking at ways of dealing with costs like energy. And what we're doing here is we're looking at the multi-hydro power project to try and say, in terms of our operations, is there anything that we can do as we purify water to actually ensure that we can generate electricity as we do that? Because that's going to assist us in reducing the cost of electricity if one says the Eskom tariffs that are projected and what's going to happen out of this. So we are happy to say to South that already we are doing this project. We've already identified, even if it's at a small case, because currently we are looking at around 12 megawatts at the beginning, but every megawatt counts in terms of event. We look at how that goes, and the approximately over 450 million that has been set aside to actually look at this project. And on the right-hand side is the regional scheme, because we have been appointed by PICC and the Rural Department now have appointed us as an implementing agent for the whole regional bulk scheme in terms of wastewater. So we're hoping that we'll be able to turn the situation around in terms of what's happening in that area. And so I think this is one of the government's legislative projects at this particular point in time. And we also operate outside our space in terms of the continent as well. Presence in Swaziland, the DRC, Botswana, and Nigeria. Maybe one thing that I need to just highlight is we've been very careful as well, because we need to ensure that we don't take money that belongs to our customers locally and use it outside. So in both cases, we try and make sure that we get into those projects only on conditions that we're not bringing in South African money. Unless it's a situation where our government says we need to go into some area and they are going to give money to those countries, we say if there's water-related issues, we need to flow the money, because we're saying it's about time that we follow the European model where funders actually get their companies to go and do work over there. So everything that you see here are the work that we're doing in the continent, but we are actually making sure that we go in as implementing agents. That means there has to be funds available. So some of these things that we do, this is why I said we're trying to look at diversification of our revenue stream, so that we don't have this issue every time when everybody that sees profitability assumes that it's only because of the tariffs. It's not like that. We're trying to actually ensure that we can get other sources so that ultimately we'll reduce the burden on the end consumers.
I hope next year it's all fine to have all these Africa initiatives. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But next year I hope where Swaziland, DRC, Botswana is, will be Amatole, Bocello, and so on and so on.
You are stealing my thunder.
That is where you should be getting the capacity.
You're stealing my thunder.
Am I stealing? It's coming.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think you're the guy with big bucks. Okay. I'm not going to steal it any longer.
And this is, we were asked to look at financial performance. I don't know whether you need me to get deep into it as well, in terms of how we performed.
No, just skip over the main one. I think we've clearly seen from the other inputs that on everything, whether it's profits, whether it's cost, on everything, about at least 50 to 60% comes from rainwater. So I think that gives us, I mean, you really gave new meaning to size count. I don't mean you personally, I mean rainwater. I mean rainwater as an entity.
I know I'm not doing justice to the CFO who's here. But I think there's one issue that we'll touch, I think, as we go ahead. Because I think it's quite important to explain ourselves, as I said earlier, from a point of view. There's been an improvement in profit, just an example, from operations from 536 million to 778 million. I think we'll still get to this, but I might as well deal with this issue now.
It is surplus.
We say...
It is surplus.
Yes, that's what I want to talk about.
Tell me.
We say, when we look at this infrastructure development that we have, this plan, we, and even the surpluses that Salga is talking about, what we do is we take that money, and I think your question was relevant today, look at the costs that come out of there. Oh, here's a nice slide, a brief statement of cash flow. If you look at it, we say cash flow from operation activities is 1.169. And we say cash generated from operations. But if you get what we're saying, going down there, we say cash generated from operations after working capital changes increased by 23% to 1.196. But if you look at cash flow from investing activities, we've taken all that money and used it for our investing, instead of saying this is our infrastructure development plan. So we're taking that money, and the differential is what we go into the market to work. So primarily what we're saying, we self-fund on the basis of this money, because for us, if you look at what we have in the bank, it's every time people talk about surplus, people think we're sitting on a heap of money. But we actually take that money and use it to invest back into our infrastructure. And what we do is the differential is what we go into the market, although we have a very good balance sheet and we deal with it. And maybe with your question, Chair, I might as well address the first issue that came with the 1.2.
Surplus. It is surplus. Okay. What is the surplus? I'm now looking here at what...
I think I've explained it by talking about 778. But let's talk about that.
778?
That's, I think, the...
Which one is
the net profit.
Oh, the one at the bottom.
Net income. At the bottom. Page 22.
And okay, so that is what... But what is your CAPEX for next year?
We will get there, Jim.
I'm trying to see service. I'm trying to understand the data service. Now, I can only understand it if I can see there's a surplus here and I can know your CAPEX. Then I know if there's a surplus or not, or whether you're spending the money.
We
or whether, whether you're going to get more salary increases.
No, we are spending the money.
Huh?
Like I said, you see the thunder.
No, man, but you never get into the thunder. You get to everything else. You say, every time I write something, you say you're stealing my thunder. But you never get to the thunder. You like the WTE. There was no thunder either. If it's thunder, where's the thunder?
Yeah, you can't compare with the
week. Very close comparison at the moment, let me just tell you that. Where is the surplus? CEO, where's the surplus? Show me.
What you then say is, if you get this slide that we have up there, I think slide number 21 or 22, slide 22.
CEO, he is gutting the issue. You tell me.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I think to indicate that, you know, for the period, our net income was 178 million that was generated, and but we had capital investment, capex of 1.5 million that we actually had to actually fund.
In the last year,
yes. And out of that, so we utilized the net income that was generated to fund our current infrastructure that needed to actually be rehabilitated. And then the balance of the 1.5 billion that could not be funded from the net income generated, we raised external funding for it. So effectively, you know, sometimes, you know, say surplus is a misnomer, you know, in an instance where we need to actually get funding from external providers. Only if you can actually have sufficient to cover your overall investment capital requirements and still have something left over, then you can say there's a surplus.
Salga is opposed to any surplus, irrespective what are your intentions with that surplus, right?
I don't agree with Salga about that, but you see why the surplus thing is serious. If you investigate why Mgeni has surplus, then it's all the wrong reason.
So that is what we're trying to find out. You see, with him, may it not have been his fault. But the fact of the matter is, there are tariff increases, we give it to them. Then they got a project plan, then because the municipality didn't build, they then don't build. Or they have so they don't. So then it shows a surface, but it's a false surface because they promised to actually build something, which then hasn't happened because the municipality hasn't brought their side of the thing. So you create a false surface. Now it's that kind of surface that one wants to avoid. Because that means that infrastructure is not being built, which is the bad thing. A surplus to help you raise loans and help you pay for your capex, and that is happening. I get no problem with those types of things. And if you plow the money back, and even if you take a little bit extra when your salary increases, that's fine. But the vast bulk of it must go the other way. So that is why you need to help me understand that. Because I need to understand more clearly. Because you see, Sada's point is, I know what he's saying, is why are you taking these big tariff increases if you don't need it because you've got the service already? So you can fund it. So we need to find out whether that's correct or not, or whether actually you take most of the service and you actually create extra infrastructure in the next year and pay capex for that, then that is helping the country. So that is it's a serious debate that we have to have. Because in some instances, some water boards, it's for the wrong reasons, and other water boards, it is because you're efficient, and in others because you're inefficient. So that is what we need to engage as a committee, which are the efficient services, which are the inefficient ones. Now, so you say to me that at the end of it you have 7, 7, 8, but you are saying to me that most of that is tied up into your next capex. Yes. I'm understanding you correctly.
We have already utilized that 778 that we generated.
Oh, in the previous case, the 1.5.
In the 1.5, and raised even further than.
You can just answer it easily. And that's what we do, Chair, annually at this particular point in time. So every time we talk about looking at a tariff application, we already put this in place. And you see, what I want to explain as well is, it's not like water boards is by themselves and settle the tariff and say national parliament can't do anything with it. I think what the water board, and I'm speaking on, I think I can do that if they allow me, to say this thing goes to the department, which are the unit that does the job at USA. But over and above that, there's an independent structure called national treasury that looks at this thing. And really, they don't do anybody any favor. And before we come here, already they have analyzed, they ask questions, and we've adjusted. I don't think any of the water boards would come and say, we've decided on this and we don't really follow the guidelines for when they give it. We are not able to explain.
That's why I say it's a politicized administrative approach.
Yes.
There's political input all along the way. And that is why independent regulator becomes a bad idea, because then that's and politicians are not able to regulate. But there are things we have to look. There are issues at the end of the day. The point is it correct that the minister and parliament have no right to actually change tariffs? I think it's wrong. I don't know why they did it originally when they drafted the legislation. But I think that's wrong. Because then it is, then Kaga may have a very valid point in the sense of saying, you may say there's a process happening, but from our point of view, we see you came up with the percentage and the end is the percentage you get.
But I think
even if it goes through all the political processes, you can understand from their perspective why they see it as they not influencing it because nothing changes. And if there is a good valid reason to change, it shouldn't just be through political persuasion. If we want to make it a political process, then the politicians should have their ultimate responsibility to take the can.
But the point I was trying to make here is I appreciate the input that you say, but I'm also saying there's an impression that's created that what about decide on this and ultimately that what gets to be presented.
Which part isn't that? You have to give us some credit as politicians. I know we don't have a long concentration span, but really give us some credit.
No, I was talking from a point of view of how that was presented.
No, that's fine. But Talga has got it to you and I. Yes. I'm looking at it from a different perspective.
Okay, no.
And some of their points are valid. Some of them I personally don't agree with, but you know, that's fine. They should be entitled to that.
Yes. Here's an interesting slide. I think one of the slides that I need to spend a few minutes on. Asset-based analysis and cost breakdown. We're looking at June 11 historical cost, June 11 replacement value, June
June 2012 with surgical costs and June 2012 with treatment. And what we're saying here is we're trying to just show that, and I think this is applicable to the water board, where we're looking at historical costs for determining tariffs. Right now, we're saying, if I were just to look at the bottom line, in terms of payment of financial provision, looking at property, plant and equipment, that the value in terms of the water we're looking at 7.1 billion. But if you look, if we were to say this, if I have to try and simplify it, to say if somebody were to, or government were to make a decision that we need another rain water tomorrow, they don't have to spend 7.1 billion, they have to spend almost 80 billion. I know the figures as presented by National Treasury, they were talking about 100 billion for all the water, but we've been working, because the figures we gave them at that time was 60 billion, but we've been working on this thing into looking at the replacement value and sitting at around 80 billion just for rent. So what we're saying is, should there be a need of government tomorrow says we want another rent, it's going to cost.
The issue just of integrating another utility.
But I'm just saying, in terms of...
It'll take 110 years to get here.
But I'm saying, if you have to invest money, this is how much it will cost you to have a new one. So what I'm saying is, when we talk about tariff certification, we're still using replacement historical cost figures. As if that's what we need to be spending when we talk about replacement and looking at the infrastructure. But just the fact of the matter is, we have to look at the replacement value for them. The thing is, our suppliers, like Eskom as an example, they are already looking at displacement value. So, to some extent, this debate that you're taking, the department has to start looking into, has to include this today. Should we be looking at the replacement value or should we be looking at the social cost? Because ultimately, we'll have to shift. But we try to highlight this now because you'll have to now to look at the target differently when we make a decision, because over time, we will have to get to that point. Otherwise, we are under-investing in terms of our own infrastructure. And I mean, in certain instances, some people are not even investing. So you can just imagine when you have to replace that infrastructure, how much it's going to cost. And this is just a statement of financial position. I think that's the one that you're looking at, just as capital and reserve check. Looking at 7.5, but I think we've explained this. And in terms of debt equity, we are sitting at 20%. But what I'd like to explain as well is what came out of the presentation of National Treasury, where they're talking about 1.2 versus 2.
Yeah,
and we said we were stressed financially. What we've done, it's very easy to deal with that issue by saying, I need to have X amount of money in the bank. Then you can say, no, if I get that, I can meet the 2% ratio, the 2% ratio in terms of what needs to happen. But what we've done is we've consciously taken the decision that we will go to the bank and get financial instruments where we don't have money, but we have access to it should we need it. But we've moved from 2 to 1.2 because it's a sort of a chicken and egg situation in terms of the discussions we've had earlier, where we're saying either you go into the market and borrow all the money, or you start saying instead of having money sitting in the bank, maybe you need to use some of it to start looking at funding the infrastructure. And I think that's quite important when we do these analysis to understand exactly how this works. Because you could easily assess, like the example that you're making with our water board.
I have to leave more money there to get it
out. To make sure that I meet the 2+,
that,
then you're not spending it because you're saying, this will now make me look like I'm doing the right thing. But from all that we said, we can actually mitigate it by showing there are other instruments. And from now, in terms of our liquidity buffer, we're looking at about 600 million, which we have, because we need to at least have that. But we looked at the 1.2%, because we are on the investment drive, it's quite important now to start scaling this rather than just pushing it to the customers. That's why we're not sitting on a pile of cash. But we have now to make that decision between the two. So that's the difference between why we are not at 1.2, but we're at 1.2. But it was the decision that we had to make, and we felt that was the right one to do.
And because you're a big organization, you can carry that because you've got the possibility of creating the infrastructure which is going to generate capital again.
Yes, and we have a balance sheet that still has a very good, that's still underutilized in terms of that. So we're trying to find a way.
If you're weak, water board, then you can't do that.
It's higher risk.
Then you're in trouble.
I'll try
to... we're going to test it on my solar.
Okay. And this is just the...
0.9 ratio.
Actual performance against budget for 2011-2012. Again, some of these things we discussed, you can pass. I think this is a bit important instead of saying cost of raw water. This is an analysis from 2009 to 2012 budget and actual. We've seen that tapering. I think it plateaued a bit in terms of cost of raw water. I think there's 6% increase year on year, but this makes 50% of our total cost. If one looks at the growth in chemical costs, we're seeing it's been growing, but at least it's decreased a bit in terms of budget and effort for 2012. But what we're seeing is this is a function of the quality of raw water. If it's polluted water, then you need to basically make sure that you have enough chemicals that you can actually deal with that issue. That's caused in the 16.9 increase in rent per kiloliter year on year. And then in terms of OPEC, which is something that we have in our control, so you can actually see that we have actually been looking at increasing that. And it's something that we're looking at from the point of view where we can drive us out, we are actually doing so. And this is just in terms of energy management, looking at cost of energy versus percent per kilowatt hour. And what you try to do if you look at the right in terms of energy usage, much as the volumes have been increasing, we've been able to, based on our activities, to keep the energy usage almost constant. Although now in terms of the volumes of water that we're treating, they've been increasing year on year. And again, it's I think response to your challenge. Although you've done your analysis, maybe you haven't talked to us, because some of the things that you're raising, we're already doing. We, in terms of looking at how to utilize energy better so that we don't pass the cost to the customer. We are doing that. We've actually even changed our speed drive to variable speed drive so that we could pump after hours in terms of the off-peak period for Eskom. And in that way, then we can save in terms of the energy cost. So some of the things that we are proposing, we are doing. So I was surprised to see that you were saying these are things that we have to start looking at. We are doing
that. Actually, Saga, you live there with them in Joburg. You can talk to them. What is your attitude to paying your debt?
To paying our debt?
Yes.
We do pay our debt.
You do?
Yes.
Why do you owe the department $600 million? $680 million.
They want to answer the bill.
I think this is one of my best customers.
Well, we got the debt outstanding for 60 days. $300 million.
We had an arrangement for 50 days.
50 days.
Yes. That's a contract.
Yes.
Yes.
Only with
you make bad contracts. Really, man, you sign bad contracts. WCE. Now, please review it. Why are they? They're the rich ones and you give them 60 days.
The contract is a contract.
And the good thing about a contract can be changed.
You see, of all this money, the 1.5 billion that you owe, is owed to you, you tell us, 600 million comes from these guys. So, you take this money away, they've got the bus sitting there in the bank. You take that money, then you've got 600 million rand less debt here. So you must get better contracts, sign other ones. We get 30 days. Government's got a policy of paying in 30 days. 30 days. All right, quickly, the tariff.
This is the tariff here, but we're just talking about the previous size of tariff consultation where we were at 18.5 and based on what happened in terms of ESCOM, we actually reduced that to 11.3. So maybe some of the things, and I've heard some of the committee members questioning the figures coming from somewhere. It's because in certain instances they use 12.9, in certain instances they use 11.3. But in terms of the figures, what we had asked for was 11.3, and at this stage we are asking for 9.82. And what you can see there...
We started with 11.3, we ended with 9.2.
The 11.3 was for the previous year. They've been interchangeably using 12.9 and 11.3. That's why this didn't make sense to the committee. But then again...
So what are you asking this year?
9.82.
9.82.
Yes. And we are explaining the portion for TCA which weighted sitting at 3.24 from the department 0.69, raw water 3.92, energy from ESCOM 1.74, energy from municipality.
No, it's okay, don't go through all that. We'll sit here the whole night.
Okay,
we can see you're going for 9.82, okay?
And what we're saying here, because we tried to spend some time just thinking about this, is the NERSA approved the general tariff increase of 8%, and everybody assumes that this is across the board. But
you don't have to explain it. Ministers already agreed to that. Go to the next one. What drives the high increase?
What we're trying to explain here is this slide, and I think this will form the basis, hopefully, if they're not invited, of explaining the difference. If you look at those data, I know the members only have they don't have the color pictures. But the realization after the big charges, that's something that was not there before, and it's making a total contribution of 3.6% to the tariff that they are asking. And then you have something called the environmental levy, which supposedly was supposed to be there all this time, but now it's separated and it's sitting at 2.6%. Now, ultimately, when you look at the actual increase, when you look at all these things that they are calculating, you come to 17.9 versus the 8% that everybody is assuming. Because what I'm thinking is, we're saying reliability and availability charge. Now, for how
long... I'm really looking forward and other strategic metaphors.
This way, technical just one. This is just the... We actually answered all the other comments in terms of what they have said and what is the
maybe... That's why I'm saying move on, because you've done it.
The next one is, we actually took an extract out of what they said to us, and I was surprised to see the numbers are different from what they said. This is coming from them in terms of the tariff that they said they are comfortable with, and I think this is applicable to some of the other
water. Leave Soga alone.
No,
and water. Leave Soga. Carry on. Rather than looking forward, others are tweeting.
Okay. I think this just talks to the capital expenditure in the near and medium term as well, and this is just the what it is that we got. Continuing business, 1.5 billion augmentation project, 1 billion renewal project, project about half a billion as well. So we just are unpacking exactly which systems are we going to be looking at. And in terms of the 5-year plan, what
so
are we
going to do? Does that mean 2 billion, altogether 2 billion for capital this year? So
in the,
it's
going to come down to around 2.5.
2.5.
Yes. And the good thing is some of those projects are underway. We started them, but the big ticket items are coming in. So somebody can ask, are you going to be able to have capacity to spend that? It's already projects that we started with. It's just that we get into that stage where we have to now buy big ticket items. So this is sort of what you see in terms of your completion, augmentation, renewal, and total. So we know exactly when are we going to spend what. And in terms of funding overview as well, because we are asked to look at the thing, this is how we'll be looking at cash, general banking facilities, a domestic medium-term note that we actually took out for 5 billion, and using a direct loan investment of 1 billion, and the total is about 9.2 billion. We were asked to talk about Bahia and Paja as well, in terms of what are we looking at it, and I can...
Don't worry about that.
Yes, okay. And this is important in terms of the strategic issues. We still have some issues relating to abstraction licenses as well. I think in terms of the amount of available water. So some of the projects that we want to do, we cannot do in terms of when we had planned to do them because we are not getting those licenses from the department. We have been engaging with them for some time on this particular matter, but this is still a challenge that exists in the sector at this stage. We are also talking in terms of gender mainstreaming in the water sector. And part of what we're doing is, I think we explained from our side why we're looking at women economic empowerment and development and looking at our policies, to actually adjust to where government is headed on this. On the ministerial directive assistance to water board, I think the chairperson has spoken about the Taylor and Bushbuck Bridge. I think the only thing is, in certain instances, these come across as unfunded mandates because we get asked to go and assist. But as well, there are peers to make considerations as well, and we say we need to be working together to find a solution on this. But let us make sure that...
There's a solution for you. You can take over those two bankrupt water boards. It's a wonderful solution.
My sense...
You won't be unfunded anymore. You'll then have a funded bankrupt.
It's about strength. I agree that the sooner we make decisions in good time so that we can plan a project. For now, as and then when everything goes well, we get chucked out of municipalities, it creates a problem. So, and I support what you were saying earlier from a point of view of saying, let's get permanent solutions, and if water board needs to get into a certain place or get out of a particular place, let's just make those decisions so that plan can be done in good time. And that's what you're saying. And in terms of the 23 distress district municipalities, like I said, we have been up by the department, by the minister, actually, to look at rural development. And this is as part of the provincial outcome. And what we've done here is just to say, outside our space as well, we started looking at different areas. So that, to answer your earlier question that, are we now putting water boards, are we putting municipalities? We are now engaging with these kinds of municipalities. Sometimes with the Kuku, Nitaupusanyano, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Free State. And we're saying as well, we are in talks with some of them, like in the Nyati Amatu, but I think Newcastle is the local municipality. All this has been changed. And we also took it to other Free State. So we have literally heeded the call in terms of saying there are 23 distressed municipalities and what is it that we're doing to assist them. So there is a lot of work that we're doing with these municipalities. So I think we'll be able to come and present progress in terms of where we are from the point of view of how we're assisting our municipalities. There was a project in terms of number five, Great Parade, which is an acid mine drainage plant that we had refurbished on behalf of the department. But currently, it's not being operated and maintained effectively at this particular point in time. And we think it might regret that because we are saying, is there somebody going to do anything about this or not? And we're saying sector skills development and professionalization, which is part of what we're doing through the academy. And what we're saying is, through the Association of Water Utilities, we've also spoken to our sister water board and said, this Rain Water Academy will also be utilized to train their own staff because we don't need to have all academies all over the sector. So there has been an agreement in terms of that, and there are some projects that we're engaging with National Treasury and COPTA to train some of the water facilities that were going to be deployed in municipal areas as well. And we were prioritizing unemployed graduates as well in terms of this. So there's a lot that is happening in this particular space as well. And what we just want to highlight as well, that there are some engagements with Lesotho that we feel need to be undertaken through the department. And we just want to highlight that there are some, I think these are more politically related because the new government of Lesotho is trying to revisit some of the agreements between South Africa and the country, but they wanted to have us now engaging with them. But what we're saying is it's quite important that protocol gets to be followed in terms of things. So we've listened to the department and that they need to look at this particular issue.
We'll shut you down if you start advising them against us.
We're very loyal subjects. It is important to note that some municipalities have passed on to household Renosa's original tariff of 13.5%. Renosa suggests that this differential be used by local candles to establish a fund for the 50%. Where we're saying within the housing space, we needed to reduce the water losses. So what we're saying in the previous years when we moved from 12.9 to 11.3, those differentials, some of them were not passed through. So what we're saying and suggesting to Southern, maybe we need to create a fund where we can look at water demand management properly and look at reducing their losses on the municipal level. These are some of the things that we're saying. We can think outside the board and work together in terms of coming up with solutions. I think number nine still speaks to that, so I'll just go to encroachment on regulatory issues. I think most of the public entities that have infrastructure in the outside, this is a big issue. And I think earlier when we came in, we were asking about the two kids that had drowned. It's an issue that needs to be looked at. A big issue that's in the experiencing steep increases in input costs, chemicals and energy, but we've been talking about that and the fluctuations in steel prices. And we don't know in terms of the wage increases. We're not saying they need to be higher, but if one looks across the sector, this is the time when the negotiations are happening. But you look at what happened last year, we're just highlighting it out there that this is one of the areas that we're looking at from point of view of how labor engages with everybody at this particular point in time. And for us, as a strategic issue, we need to try and maintain and improve our credit profile because it makes us to be able to access the bonds in the market at a rate that is affordable to our customers ultimately. And we don't have this problem at this stage where municipalities are paying us, but because of the amount and number of customers that we have, if any of them is in default, that's going to have a big impact on us in terms of how we operate. But at this stage, I'm happy to say our data is sitting at around two days on average. So we are doing proper debt management. And we say deteriorating low water quality as a result of poor catchment management. We've written to the department to say maybe this is a role that we need to play because we always talk about chemicals and their cost, but the quality of the water that we get from them needs to actually improve. And we say maybe we can do that on their behalf. We're still waiting for response from the department. And
we're waiting a lot of responses from the department.
Yes, we are. And the real institutional realignment, I think Coco has
mentioned. Coco, you visited your aunt your letters, he was preparing for this meeting.
So I'll stop here.
Thank you very much. Very comprehensive input. A lot of good work, a lot of good capacity that's there. Any questions? Everything clear? Seems very clear to me. Dr. Huang? Mrs. Susana? Mr. Kalala?
Thank you, Chairperson. I also thank you for the rainwater, wonderful presentation. I'm very grateful for all your board members. I have a very good salary. So your annual report, the CFO, it just gets a 2.9 million rand for a year. All the executive members all over 2.3 million. either this among the order over to the minister and even deputy president in this country. So I think it is quite heavy, you, because your turnover and your net profit is over 700 million. So why is everyone keep the smile, you see? See the other waterfall is, can keep all smile like you are this leadership here. Even my shepherd also proud, but you can go to your boss, yeah. But I think it is quite good because this rain award is over 100 years, yeah. Also a lot of jobs get done. Then I just hear from you is from the beginning your presentation, you say the rain award is being utilized for the consultant. No, I just want to know is because I hear for you say you never utilize the consultant. But I thought that your annual report, your consultant fee is paid 41 million rand. So I don't know if I mistake or you mistake.
If you allow me, Charles, there are other questions that I can
Okay, now we operate.
Okay, all right.
And Chairperson, my second question is regarding the rainwater or the department of 600 million rand. Can you say it's by contract 2 months? But I think it's our president already highlighted. This month payment only for 30 days. Because the 600 million rand, if interest in by the bank, you keep in the bank, it's 1.5% to 2.5%. We take the average, it's 2%. Every year you can get 12 million rand for interest in divided 12 months. So you divide 1 month, you earn the 1 million, then the department will lose the 1 million rand. So I think it's on the I bring your attention. I wish the department can change the contract in the payment by 30 days because rain water is a big void. So it's all a fake case. So I think you must be considered for change for the contract because it's interesting. It costs too much. Thank you.
Mr.
Costano?
Yeah, no, thank you for the talk you got from rainwater. The big mom. When you hit the big mom, I must have a very strong rock and beat it half a year. But anyway, I've got just a simple question on your academy. Is this academy made for your employees within the system or is it made for the public? And if it is made for the public, can you outline your recruitment strategy? How do you recruit for people to access that academy? And also a funding, you have a funding to assist people that are recruiting as a brother, or they must come their own funds to learn in your academy. Thank you.
Ma'am Vikalala.
Jefferson, it's red water again. Flight 47, bullet 9, says project 15%. I did not just get it right, just on that score, because mine was, are there projects run by the board, the rainwater, meaning projects that could help communities to survive? As a matter, just to be simple, straightforward. Secondly, there was a question when we started, maybe I failed to make a good follow-up, whereby it was mentioned rural development. I'm very much in love with it. When you say rural development, I would like to hear what is really happening. One other thing, I would like to congratulate Rainwater for that is slide 6, employment equity, disabilities, so much. Females in total workforce, so much females in management, 45%, they are nearing to the right figure, 50%, you know. And I could listen to some of the girls, they are very, you know, and I was impressed. So, lastly, Rainwater serves the children. He says, Rainwater plows the money in many ways. Of course, the youth, which is a very good thing for them to plow them. And I would like to thank you so much on behalf of this committee. You know, some of the things you don't have to mention them, as Mundum does. You just let them hang, you know. I think, on behalf of this committee, I would love to give you a big thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Rogers.
Thanks, Chair. One of the points I picked up of interest is the project that you're dealing with sanitation, where you've gone and assisted Mpuleni local municipality. Now, as you well know, sanitation is not part of water, but it's part of environmental affairs. So it's also dealt with in this committee. Human settlement. So, no, sanitation is human settlement, but environmental affairs impact on the rivers and on our water supply. How did this, give us a bit of a background, I believe it's a five-year project that you've entered into with a municipality. Give us a bit of a background into how it came about, into what involves. And then a follow-up question onto that, is this the only municipality in your scope of area that's impacting on your water source, or are there others, and how are you dealing with it? And I would then hope that the other boards that are doing presentations would also be able to highlight what problems they're having and how they are addressing those problems, as it is a national problem and not just an isolated problem. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Another one.
My question to the Rainwater is, how do they manage the issue of S9 drainage as the province that are working with in the province, how they are discriminated by the river, which are S9 drainage? Thanks.
Okay. I'd like to make my last comment to the Rainwater here. I think there is a department of POGO that just presentation said this 12 water board will be reduced to 9. So other one or two will be transferred to your rainwater. But from your board leadership, you are welcome for the other board to come to the your board. They come to the your membership or the, because this board also got the executive member. They also got the high salary. But I think it's quite good for these people come running the nice business, they come to the your board. So I just would like to get from your comment, because you said you haven't got a problem from municipality payment. So other board members all have the problem. Top 10 the municipality, all the 1.6 billion from the board, all the board. So you must teach, and the other board must be learned from the your own board. Thanks.
Okay, those are all the questions.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for the question. Maybe I need to take this advantage first and humbly accept the accolades that we got from the member in terms of some of the work that we're doing. But coming back to the issues on the table, I think the first question related to the statement I made earlier in terms of consultancy. Our revenue for last year was sitting at around 6.8 billion. I think in context, when I said we try and ensure that most of the things we do in-house, there are obviously certain aspects that we still have to do to use consultants. But if you get the revenue of 6.8 billion, versus the 40 million that we spend, you actually understand that we use them only when it's absolutely necessary. But primarily we try and make sure that for the sector, because I know we represent over 65% of the sector, we try and make sure that we can have those skills, and if we have them within the water, we believe, then they are within the government, basically a public entity. And what we say is, where we can, we try and do some of the things that have, and I think that's the angle I was taking in terms of that. It does not mean that we fully do not use consultants. We do, but we don't rely on consultants for everything. Okay. The issue of the 600 million in terms of the, what was this related to, the 600 million? Or is there a 60-day payment period in terms of what you do? There's an old argument that we had with them, but I think I just need to highlight that we currently negotiating with the department in terms of how to get changing some of the supplements. But I think we need to understand that this is going to have an impact as well as we change it, because we're saying it needs from it needs to move from 60 to 80, and I think the committee is right in terms of what they say. But on the other side, we now need to also look at our days in terms of when we now build the municipalities as well. So this is going to be a process in terms of when we start to count the 30 days when we provide them with the bill. So everything is interlinked. It's not like we get that money earlier. There's also a process in terms of when do we start counting on that side. So this will have to be something that's why we negotiate. We understand that there's a decision that has been made, and I think the president was quite strict on this particular issue that all the main institutions...
Now, you don't have to look. I mean, it's seriously the pay, but I also understand 60 days. I mean, I understand paying 60 days. I'm not going to fight about it, so you don't have to go and speak information.
Okay.
But, you know, the issue is really just that the bottom was actually reflected this debt differently. Like we did with the debt of the municipality, that there's a current debt which is paid, say, within 60 days, which you don't. And you look at that, it's 94% of that being paid. And then there's a arrears debt.
Yeah.
I think they should look at it like that as well, the department. The problem is they just presented it with this one thing.
Oh, no, I understand.
So you look at 1.5 and think, my God. And then you say, but 600 million was going to be paid within 60 days.
Yeah.
So, okay, so then it's not a problem. So it becomes a much more problem.
And we pay on a monthly basis, yeah. It tells that there's always the 30-year defense there. Yes, there was a question that related to the academy to say, is it just internal to us or are we also involved in the public? Of course, there's always a limitation in terms of what one can do with the resources. We're looking at the academy both just for rainwater, but as well for other water boards, but as well for the public. But the challenge is always now, as the question later went through, in terms of funding. The program that we currently undertaking in terms of training and the graduates that are unemployed, it's something that we're doing jointly with National Treasury in their funding that aspect. And after so far, the outcome of it is they've been quite comfortable with the methodology as we use it. So what you're saying is we do have, batteries, so we do provide batteries, but obviously there's a process that needs to follow. The only issue becomes the amount of money that's available, and you need to have some kind of criteria that you're going to utilize. But we try and make sure that we are able to have access to other funders, and at this stage we've been working closely with the National Treasury for that. But as a company ourselves, we also now have our own funding, and we have batteries that we actually provide. But there are so many people that want this, and you have a finite resource in terms of funding that you can utilize. But we'll see as the academy grows in terms of how can we use with this, because we can't accommodate everybody, but we have to try and do our bit as well. The issue of project 15%, maybe I need to explain this a bit. This is not a rainwater project. It's the project coming from the province, the housing province, where from a point of view of water losses, some are sitting at over 10% at some point, and they've made a decision that they need to reduce the water losses to about 15% at least. So they call that project 15%. But for us, because we are the bulk supplier in terms of what needs to happen, we are supposed to be part of the solution as well in terms of doing that. When we refer to it, it's more along the lines in terms of what we can jointly do between ourselves, the policies and SAUGA, or the methods and SAUGA, in terms of coming to really ensure that this becomes a reality. So that's where we're coming from in terms of it. There was another issue that related to say, from a point of view of the work that you're doing on, I think, rural development, you wanted to understand more in terms of what you're doing. I said, we submitted our shareholder contract to the minister, and the minister said, no, based on your size and your capacity, we need you to now include rural development as part of what you're doing. So we started looking outside our area of operation. But the presentation, maybe it was not clear. We talked about the Rainwater Foundation, which is our CSI vehicle. And currently, 5% of our net profit, if I may use the word, we actually fund their activities, just CSI. So that's how we are able to fund some of the things that we do. The example that we made, I think it's just like water and sanitation projects, looking at schools, municipal capacity building, schools in terms of rainwater harvesting, you know, war on leaks and all those kind of things. But over and above that, just for rural development, we are quite busy in certain instances, even outside our area, we assisted other municipalities in terms of sinking boreholes, using solar panels to actually ensure that we can automate the process, but also now getting involved in terms of things. I think National Treasury was talking about this area, and some of the provincial treasuries also talk about this today. There is money, but it's all about whether you allocate it to a municipality in some rural area where they haven't been able to have the advantage of attracting the right deals. And you now start saying, how do you assist them and actually partner with them as an implementing agent and be able to assist them in putting together a plan and saying, we will look at working with you, but also looking at skills transfers because we now have the academy. So what you're doing now is how to work with them. And that's why we are now involved in other loans, and we prioritize those 23 different municipalities because that's what government has said we need to prioritize. So those are the ones that we are looking at. And there are some partnerships that we currently signing in terms of saying, we will be the implementing agent. This is what we provide in terms of capacity, but we also want to make sure that we capacitate people so that when we move out, they're able to run. And they're looking at things like unemployed graduates, and we're also looking at professionalizing some of the qualifications that people have at this stage, but you need to make sure they are recognized. So we work with CSAS, we work with quite a number of all these institutions that we need to actually ensure that, and we've been accredited as well in terms of what we need to do already. So that's sort of just a small part of what we need to do, but we're trying to make sure that we can provide the services in rural areas as well. It should not only be in urban areas. Val River, in terms of sanitation, I think there was a question that's related to that to say, how are we dealing with it? What happened was there was an issue that came from, I think it's the Save the Val group, that at some point took the municipal manager and the executive mayor to court, and they were ordered to actually sort out the issues in terms of what was happening in the past because that had to do with some of the effluent finding itself into the river. So we engaged with them and we took over the operations and the maintenance of the particular project over a period of 6 years. But over and above that, we're looking at refurbishing those plants as well. But the good thing is, as we were doing this, we had that deal with them in terms of running this on their behalf as well. But with the CBN scheme, which has now incidentally been allocated to us to do a lot, it helps because now that's part of the bigger project. And because we were the people that came up with the CBN scheme concept, even if it ultimately ended up being run elsewhere, we're looking at the whole Val area, looking at what comes out of from hunting, especially Joburg, and what ends up at Infulet, but also looking at the mid-Val side as well to say, we try to sort out the issues on both sides, but also look at having a massive water treatment work that we're going to build. But that is a project, that is a flexi project that's coming from government. But already we're looking at things like the CBM plant and whatever on the influence side beforehand. So that's what we're doing in terms of sanitation as well. Ethic mine drainage, I think at this stage that is still sitting with the department in terms of the direction that needs to be taken on it. There was a short-term solution, and currently the department has been engaging with the relevant people, including us, in terms of looking at the long-term solution. But at this particular point in time, it's not in our hands today, except for the example that I did earlier, that there was a small plant in Mpumalanga that in Brexbridge that we took and serviced and made sure that it's in good working conditions, but then we are not involved anymore. But everything, nothing is happening with that, and it is going to deteriorate unless something gets to be done quickly. So from our side, saying, we have cut our teeth, we believe we can work in this space, and there are package plans that were actually put in place coming from outside. We assisted in raising the funds, but we need to actually take this forward. But I know that the department has a plan and they've been engaging with us on that as well. From a point of view, I think the chair is here. Put the challenge out to say, but how do we deal with this whole thing of cross-subsidization and how can we deal with this matter? I'm saying part of the solution might lie in terms of how do we deal with the institutional realignment process. Remember, one of the solutions might be, and I'm answering your question, member, from a point of view, having said, are we in a position to absorb some of the water boards if they're given some of them? And I think in terms of the department's presentation, they were saying already that there's a water board that might actually be linked to the water going forward. But as well, in terms of, we have an association of water water utilities where we actually look at all the issues, and from there we say we need to be looking at benchmarking, we need to be looking at how to actually ensure that there's cross-coordination as well in terms of how to do different things. So we are working together with our sister water board to try and make sure that we can impact some of the things that we can, and we can learn from them as well. Thank you, Chair. You have dealt with the...
You have dealt sufficiently with everything, my friend. You have earned your... Let me not say the salary, I've just looked at it. Anyone that's interested, look at his annual report. It is the... I'm going to become the CEO of Warren Water.
25 hours a day, Chair.
Well, hard work has never been a problem with me. Hard work has never. It's you are trying to become an MD of my salary. Thank you very much, Rainwater. I really appreciate it, and obviously I've given you some leeway to explain more, particularly advocates, so that because you make up the biggest part of the sector, I think we can give recognition to that, also in the time you give, so that we can see what a 110-year-old organization could provide. You know, we live in a South Africa now where everything has to be quick. You must make your first million quickly, you must make your first this quickly. People forget that the sustainable institutions are the ones that have been built over many years. These things, these fly-by-nights and so on, these things don't last. The ones that are trial and error. So that's why I gave you some leeway to explain to us so we can see how good functioning. And we really appreciate the hard work you do. What you're an exemplary utility. Thanks. Okay, Mgeni, quickly, we still have time for your input. If the people from the kingdom can step forward.
Attempt to strike a balance. between the present operational environment and the future water infrastructure needs of our communities. How we try to strike a financially viable organization that is also responsive to the social needs of our communities in water supply, and how we achieve proper governance and compliance, and the report of the Auditor General, and also achieve operational efficiencies at the same time. So the presentation will be centering pretty much around those three primary themes, but it will be going into greater detail as to how we achieve all of those. I'll have the CD. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chair and honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much and good afternoon, almost evening. I will start with the overview of Umngeni Water briefly. Umngeni Water in KZN is the largest water board, but in South Africa it's the second largest water board, as you have seen in the previous presentation. We operate officially in an area of just above 21,000 square kilometers, but we do now and then operate outside that area. We have six main customers in our area, of which Etegini Metro, it takes 80% of our water. That is actually very, very significant, because in terms of tariff negotiations, because of their sheer size, we negotiate very carefully, and we start with them in terms of negotiations. And we always have quite a big argument where they never say that, you know, complain about the surplus, but they complain that we take the surplus from them and then we subsidize with other rural areas. We take it to other rural areas, and they believe that they have their own rural areas to deal with. But the argument is also that, you know, those rural areas, you know, they need to be looked after. So in terms of how and where we sit, we actually live in rural areas where we are and Umngeni Water. So it's not a weekend occasion where we go and bring the bench and then, you know, go back to the city. So we actually live there. The next biggest customer is Umsunduzi, local municipality, which takes 10% of the water. So between Etegwini and Umsunduzi, they take 90% of the water. And the balance of the water really goes to the rural areas where there is a greater need to actually provide water, but there is also a greater need of infrastructure in those areas. On the right-hand side there, I won't bore you with details of the numbers because those are in the financial statement. I will take it as read. In terms of the operational area from a map point of view, we go up to Tukela River. I know it shows on the other side, but as I said, there is nothing preventing us with dealing. We deal with quite a lot of people outside our area, including Eshowe. On the left, you know, we are bound by the Drakensberg, and then the south, we are bound by the Mtafuna River, but we also are an implementing agent currently at the O.R. Tambo district. So we are helping.
To the farm, to Mtavuna, but we obviously
go across, you know, and yeah. So we go, you know, anywhere.
So you cross to go together, and Mtavuna is about there.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So, but as long as we don't fight about certain things, we do help in those areas as well. Now, I will be looking at some of the statements of comprehensive income. Just to highlight our income there, it grew about 11%. So there is not really much growth in terms of our income. But if you are still looking at our cost of sales, as well as other expenses, we can see that there is a challenge because some of the expenses are growing higher than the income. I will delve into some details why that's so. But one of the most important one is that we are gearing the organization to be able to deal with especially the rural district municipalities, to be able to implement infrastructure there as well as help as much as possible, because those district municipalities need quite a lot of help. So if you go to the bottom line in 2012, we made a surplus of 591 million, and although we had budgeted about 505 million, the reason was that there were some other areas which were one-off, which actually added up into that profit. And then this year we are focusing, we will be making roughly a surplus of 428 million going forward. Now, just to analyze the space in which we are in, is that we are in a very low volume growth area. That is quite a big challenge. The costs are increasing higher than the revenue, and hence there is a decline in gross profit and net margin. And then what is most significant is that we have quite a significant capex program in relation to our size, and it's very much dependent in RBIC. You know, so our project is that we roughly fund 50%, and then the other 50% comes from RBIC. But it's single big chunk of project. So in other words, if RBIC disappoints you, then it sometimes then pushes the program back, because you can't start without enough money. Just to look at our capital program there, you can see that for the
I was wrong just now when I spoke to Salga. I was looking at this other figure of 105. See, it's 591.
Yeah.
So just, I was looking on the previous page under KTEC spend, underspend.
Yes.
Which is something different. But just explain this underspend to us. Because previously we had this experience with Mgeni. I want to just hear what is your surplus. What is it made up of, and how do you get there?
The surplus, as you can see there, is that we have a revenue of 1.8 billion, and our cost of sales are 857 million, and then you come with a gross profit of 990, and we had some one-off income of 52 million, and we also had a cost of 469, which took us to 573 million, and then finance cost of 16, and there was also some other income.
Last year you came and explained to us, because we raised the surplus the previous year, you came last year and you said, we've now recognized that we've got a huge surplus, so we've increased our CAPEX quite substantially.
Yes. Okay, that is the next.
This year.
Okay, it's coming. That part is coming. That's the next slide.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Now, let's look at our capital program, you know. So you can see that from 2008, we're quite low at about 100 million a year. But if you look last year, we spent 485 million. And that 485 million is 82% of what we budgeted to spend. You know, so in other words, now there is about 100 million short of that is the shortfall. So we're 82%.
Yeah.
Before we used to spend about 40%. You know, so we've actually moved from 40 to about 82%. That is the capital spend. Now this year 2013. The budget which we have budgeted to spend in terms of capital is 881. So you can see that, you know, the capital is increasing. Yes, we are using it now to fund our project. But if we are looking at forecast, because we always look at forecast, we are thinking that we will spend between 562 about 600 million this year, which is lower than we expect. That's about 64%. But the biggest contributor to that is that we have a very big project in Lower Tugela, you know, which is going to be costing about 1.2 billion. Now, we had budgeted to start that process, and we were just about going to tender, but the money was not there from RBIC. So, because the money was not there from RBIC, what we did was to try and break the project down into smaller pieces so that we can take the cash we have and fund it. But the problem is that now it shifted. You know, so that's why we didn't really need.
So you're prepared to because you've got the surplus, to go up to 881.
Yes.
But with these realities, you're still aiming for that, but you think you're not going to.
Yes.
You're going to probably not make it.
We're not going to make it. We will commit. You know, all that money will be committed. You know, so it's not really an issue.
Okay.
And then the other thing which has slowed us down a bit is appeals. We've found that when people lose tenders, they use PIBA and PIA to appeal, you know. And it takes sometimes a month, 2 months, 3 months, depending on the legalities of the issue. And then there are also some liquidations. You find that some of the companies now, they want to enter as low as possible as contractors. But when they are inside the door, then they can't deliver and then they liquidate, you know. So those are some of the things which slows us down in our program. And lastly, there are also issues of land acquisition. You know, because we are building pipelines which passes on various properties. Whenever anyone is building something, people think that they can make a lot of money by me passing with my pipeline through this property. So those negotiations sometimes are a bit protracted. Now, on the right-hand side there, we're still looking at financial performance, but we're projecting now 214. Now, if you are looking at 214 and we go right down to the surplus, we see that really our net at the end of the day will be roughly about 346. So in other words, we're not really increasing the surplus, but the surplus is decreasing as we go forward. Now, I have mentioned that there is not much growth in our area. If you look at that growth over the years, you can see that at some stages, financially, 2011 was negative growth, but it's very minimal growth in our area. Now, the thing which would explain this growth, is the non-water revenue of our customers. So you find that it's very high. So Ekurhuleni, for instance, has about 35, and recently it was at 38. So what they do is that they always try and reduce the non-revenue water. And thereby, when they reduce it, they obviously reduce our income as well. So that is actually why that the top line is not increasing. Also, Mzuzi, it's got very high non-revenue water as well, which is trying to reduce. So the net is that the revenue is not increasing. But you actually have a challenge. I think Sanka raised the challenge to say that Umgeni Water shouldn't be spending any money because the volumes are not increasing. But the challenge is that in the rural areas, we actually have to provide good capital in the rural areas, although in total, the volumes are not increasing. Recently, we opened a Makumulo Water Scheme in KZN at 11 Regional Council, at District Municipality. There we are spending 400 million, but 450,000 people. Yeah. So the economy is actually quite difficult in those areas. But one needs to spend some money in those areas. Now, typically, when you're just looking at Ekurhuleni, you can see the trend. You know how they've been trying to reduce the non-revenue water, and the red bar it talks straightly to water loss. You know, leaks of the past. Maritzburg as well is in that situation and they are trying to reduce it as well. Now if we look at total expenditure, there is a basket of costs which are the main cost drivers of our costs. Those are chemicals, energy, maintenance, raw water and staff. You know, if you look at those are the ones which really contribute more. We are trying to make sure that we are as efficient as possible in those areas, but as some other presenters have commented, that sometimes our raw water is deteriorating, therefore it needs more chemicals, and sometimes the chemical costs themselves are not increasing in line with inflation. We are looking at about 16% increase in chemicals. The energy as well. You know, I know that we have revised really our cost in terms of the 8% of ECOM, but most of our electricity comes from Ethekwini Metro. So what will happen is that Ethekwini Metro would probably increase more than 8%, and that will be another challenge. But on the other hand, we are doing, we have certain initiatives which help us to be energy efficient. We are looking at cogeneration projects in one of our wastewater wells. We're also looking at hydro power projects at the Moy transfer scheme. We're also looking at lighting efficiency projects across Mgeni Water. We're also re-looking at all our water and wastewater plants and redesigning them differently. Also, when we also design the new water wells and scheme, we actually take a longer-term view of how to make those projects more energy efficient. Now, if you look at the issue of bulk tariffs, looking from 2008, you can see that there has been really steady increase. There haven't really big serious, there's been big serious jump in terms of increases. Yes, in 2013, the capacity unit charge for Moy transfer it started being charged on that particular year, and therefore you had less 13% in total. But if you look this year, the effective increase in our area is 7.5, because as many water were asking 8.3%, and there is no increase in the capital unit charge. So that's why we have 7.5% increase. And we've already adjusted that for the new 8% energy increase in ECOM. Now, the other important perspective is looking at what water boards charge in the area and what the municipalities charge in the area. So if we are looking at a household using 35 kiloliters of water in a month, the charge per kiloliter as in any water bulk is 423 cents, while the municipality actually charges 13 rand. So there is actually a very, very big difference in terms of the charges there. Internationally, roughly that figure should be about 2. But it is 3, and that's what really the end consumer feels at the end of the day. Now, we've been talking quite a lot about solar, and in the way we look at how we determine our tariff is that we look at cash flow, because it's the cash flow which determines the tariff, not really profit. You know, as we know that. They always say that revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, but cash is reality. You know, so when we pay contractors, we pay them in cash.
Spoken like a true member of National Trade.
So we pay them cash. Now, we have a 30-year model, you know, where we really look our cash flow in decades. At the current moment, what we really need to implement all these projects we have as Mgeni Water, we need roughly 600 million a year. That's really what we need to be generating every year. So if we generate that, then we actually have a shortfall. And you'll see as we go forward that we'll have shortfall. Now, this is a technical calculation of the shortfall, and it shows that from 2014, we will start actually having a shortfall, and we need to do something about it. And if we also look at that green line, is what we call operational cash flow, and red are actual spend, projected spend in a year, and the green are the money which we must pay back. You can see from there that we already have a shortfall. So round about 2014, 2015, we must start going back into the market and making sure that we can borrow some money to actually make sure that we meet those cash flow needs. Now, we obviously currently have some investment and surplus cash, which includes, you know, some of the loans we have. You can see how that green part, those loans are being depleted, towards 2016, 2017. Hence, that's why we need to round about 2015 start testing market so that we can meet those shortfalls. Now, in terms of capital expenditure, we said it's 82%, what we've ringed there, 82%, which we achieved. But if you look on the left-hand side, we have expansion and augmentation projects, which are about 200 million. So on our traditional customers, we need to expand and meet their needs. That's the 220 million. Rural development, we are also spending about 220 million as well in there. And then there are upgrades and rehabilitation in terms of old infrastructure. So you can see that if we look at our capital project, roughly 50% of our capital projects are rural projects. Now that graph there is just looking at our debt level and our borrowing. This is how we'll be managing our debt level as we move from 2013 to 2018. We do manage our debtors very well. We are at 36 days currently. We are fortunate that Winnie Metro is a very good customer and pays on time. There are other municipalities which in May month I have to call them for tea, and then after tea then I really remind them that there was a bill which was sent and it's not paid. And I'm usually told that the money is in the post and we eventually get it. Now that is our 2013 to 2018 capital project. We will be spending about 4.5.
Your outstanding debt, 8 million. Is that right?
To the department, yeah, which we pay every month, you know. So it's we.
No, municipalities that owe you money.
Oh, that month. It's in a month.
Department show.
Okay. And
the rear 30 days,
120
days, 8 million.
Yeah, that's right. But you mean,
8 million,
not too much. You know, so I call them for tea, and then, you know, we usually talk.
I hope we're
doing
that now calling for tea. With a
knock here. Yeah, you understand it very well. Okay. Now, so if you look at our capital project, it's 4.8 billion, of which 2.3 billion is really in the rural area. Now, those are rural development projects in there, and if you look at the capacity, those are the name of the project on the left, and those are...
Let me call you again there. The other question is the money you owe.
Yes.
The fund.
How much?
87 million.
No, we pay, you know, we take the invoice.
You say that 63 million of that is older than 130 days. 63 million is older than
130
days, that's
5 months. All right, some of this is... Some of these are disputed, you see, which we can't really deal with in this forum. You know, sometimes we reconcile, you know, certain things, and we end up paying. We have the cash to pay. But, you know, we must make sure that, you know, when we pay for, when we see the invoices, they are correct, and but we pay. We don't have a problem with that.
How much is disputed?
Disputed as you didn't get it, or disputed as what? Another 50 million? Every month. So in other words, there is no question of we don't have the cash to pay. The invoice must be correct, and all other things must be correct. When we read the meter, you must read the same number.
Go on.
All right. Okay, I've talked about the program, capital expenditure 2013-2018. And then in terms of rural development projects, those are the projects and those are the capacities. And on the right hand side, those are figures, which population figures. And then this is the continuation of some of those projects. And you know, looking at the population, we are targeting is about 1.5 billion. And all those are in rural areas. There is still quite a backlog, which we still have to deal with. So there is still about 1.2 million backlog, which we still have to deal with. Those projects are in different stages. Some are at concept, some are at implementation, some are finished, you know, so they are at different stages. Now, we also, in our implementation of projects, create jobs. In 2011-2012, we created 1,000 jobs. Currently, half of the year, we have created 400 jobs. Because we're behind, we should have created about 500, 550 to 600. But we've also created more than 1,000 temporary jobs because we're also an implementing agent in quite a lot of Department of Water Affairs projects. We are also very serious in terms of skills development. We take part in the National Treasury Graduate Development Program where we help engineers to become professional engineers. We help scientists to become professional scientists. And the aim of that project is to make sure that those skilled people can go to municipalities and help. We also have learnership and apprenticeship programs where we are looking at development of artisans. We have about 50, more than 50, about 45 of those people in pipeline. We also have a graduate development program where we are looking at University of Technologies, giving them service trainees in training. We have just under 20 of those, but we will be increasing those. And we also have a better program of ourselves, which is more than 10 people. We have a strategic plan. I'm not going to go with details. That's our strategic map. And there are details for KPIs, which I'm not going to go through them. We submit those quarterly to the department. So if you can just skip through, you know, all of those, and then the audited last year performance in terms of our KPIs, we were at 83%, and we're projecting in future that we will be above 80% in terms of our performance going forward. In terms of promotion of access to information, we comply fully with it. So in summary, we in 2012 we had a clean and qualified audit. We have positive financial performance, which is sustainable. We have sufficient funds and planning and forward planning as well for our short to medium term. Also, we make sure that we contain the cost as much as possible as we go forward. And what was proposed for 2014, 8.3%. And we have got quite a significant bulk water infrastructure which we are implementing, especially in the rural areas. And our infrastructure program is aligned with the National Development Program as well as the Provincial Growth and Development Strategy, as well as all the municipalities in our areas, their strategic goals. I said half of our programs are in rural areas. Grant funding is very essential. We are working with the department as much as possible to try and align the program with the grant funding. And we do hope that our program will make a substantial impact in the economy of our region. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Can we ask questions now? Quickly, are there questions?
Thank you, Jonathan. It's a very good report from the Jonathan on the report of the finances that was presented before us here. On the analysis of water board, there is this difference that I want the board maybe to clarify on. they are saying the following court tariffs do not cover their budgeted costs. Again, it's not. This is in the analysis report. I just want to check with again on the matter of, in fact, their strategy in dealing with this, because it tends to be a challenge on its own to say for ongoing board in delivery of services by the water board.
Any others? Mr. Rosen? Thanks, Chair. I've got a couple of questions. One of the comments was made on the during presentation on page 4, where the comment was made that the budget's being geared for rural assistance to district municipalities, I assume your capital budget. So my question would be, is that capital projects going to be funded internally? And if there is going to be assistance to rural district municipalities, could we have a little bit more detail on that? Then also on page 18, I don't know if I was having a siesta at the time and I missed out, but the water services backlog eradication table, the percentages on the side there, if that could just be re-explained to me. And then my final question is, you're supporting, I see, Ugu District, or doing work with Ugu District Municipality and Sasongi District Municipality, and I assume that you know there are challenges in both those district municipalities, both with sanitation and water. So it leads me on to ask the question that Rand said, how they're assisting municipalities that are lacking capacity. What is Mgani's role in both those district municipalities? Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Alright. The first one of under recovery of cost. I think probably let's go back to the tariff increases which we have in page 18. Now, if you look at the tariff increases which Umlene Water has charged in the past, you know, it was 5%, 3%, 6.5, and they've been hovering around inflation. Now, for it to be more sustainable, because you are actually looking at everything, you are looking at your top line, and you are looking at how your costs are increasing. But over a 10-year period, we recognize that you will under-recover some stages, but you will over-recover some stages. But if you look now, last year it was 5.6, but now it's 8.3. So we are trying to make sure that we bridge that gap or under-recover. So going forward, really, we should be looking at increases of around 8%, 9% if we are to sustain this project. So we are well aware in terms of what we need to do. Unfortunately, it's a process of negotiation, this tariff, but we have taken a first bold step of making sure that we are in the right ballpark in terms of increases. Now, in terms of a rural assistance, page 4, which says what exactly are we doing, page 4, whether that will be funded internally. Now, quite a lot of that will be funded internally, you know, because we borrow money from the market, and we also have money from the tariff. You know. So quite a lot of the assistance is actually funded internally. And some of it is not very quantifiable because some of them, they come with different types of problems which we help them and we don't necessarily charge them, you know, as I will explain probably as the challenges of Ugu as well as the Songhe. Maybe let me just start with that because it links to that directly. Now, if we take the Songhe, for instance, they have many, many challenges. Actually, for instance, where we have a water well and a wastewater well, is that their own network, you know, sewerage network, their challenges in maintaining it. So at some stage, we spent 10 million. We went there and blocked all sewer systems, rehabilitated them, because the problem we're having is that sewage system ran off into the river, that river goes into a dam, that dam we abstract water and treat it to the top. So in other words, it just increases the cost. So that's what we did. Yeah. And we've had many interventions, like we helped them with the blue ward, the blue drop, the green drop. You know, so that's the type of assistance. Sometimes they just don't have capacity to do certain things. They have big breakdowns and they don't have enough accidents, you know, in fact, our accidents to help them in the period. The challenge we have with them is that they don't want to give us other waterways. We only operate in Togo, wastewater and waterways. But when you go to Mzimkulu, Foxman, they want to operate there themselves. Only when they've got problems, they come to us. You know, the other day I met the MM there. He said, I've run out of money. Can you help me? I've got a big breakdown. So I go there and I fix it. But I tell him that it should be a long-term relationship, you know. I don't want to be in a fight and set relationship because it doesn't suit me. Now,
Did one
extend general? No, they don't work with me. Yes. Now, Ugu as well, they do have quite a few challenges and we've helped them as well. Now, with Ugu, it's something very similar to Sisonke. We operate the upper part of Ugu, but the lower part they want to operate to themselves. And this is actually where they do have a lot of challenges in the southern part. Now, at some stage, they had a problem with their wastewater. And they were pumping about 1 megaliter a day of sewage into the sea. And we went there, they didn't have rigging equipment, you know, we rigged everything, helped them to take the pumps out, replace them. So we helped them, you know, and we don't have them. So that's the typical help we have. Now, last year, there were floods, and those floods were quite severe. You know, they damaged railways, they damaged our public infrastructure, they damaged roads, you know. The first thing we had to do was to fix roads, to access the dam, to access up Strathorn. And then we went there, we fixed our path. But what had tended to happen was that Ugu did not have the capacity to fix the path, and it was really festive season. So we had to help them in fixing their path as well. So that is the type of help which we give to those municipalities, but some of them, they want to give a bit, they don't want to, you know, give all. With Ilembe, what they have said is that take all our funds. So we've got a very good agreement. And they used to have problems in the Palito area every Christmas. But since we have taken over, we've made sure that they adequate water to Palito. And that problem is solved. So that's what we can do in other areas. But it's a process of negotiation. You know, you can't just take over there. And then lastly, in that table there, where we're talking about the backlog, so in those areas, you know, those are some of the figures which we keep watching in terms of each of our customers. So I'm going to say that which areas have the population with less than, which the access to water is below RDP level. And that is really what we concentrate in eradicating. So that is just one view of looking at those people who are below RDP level.
Thank you very much. Once again, I want to thank your delegation for making a very good presentation here. But I must say, you know, I'm worried about Ngeni. And it's a small worry, but it's a worry, is that you guys are really trying hard. The surplus you have to now get it into Capex, and I can see you trying to do it. But again, this year you've made 83%, you're now projecting only 64% of a higher Capex for next year. And I've got no reason to doubt the reasons you've given. This one you say, the RBB hasn't come forward and given the money and so on. So it just seems to me that the problems you keep raising with us are solvable problems. So what I want to suggest is, I want to suggest, Elchad, that you, Ngeni, and Treasury meet now in April still. And you see if you can't get away, even if it's from next year, get away from some of these problems that we're having. That every time when they want to spend money on Capex, there's somewhere either the municipality has not come on board, or RG hasn't come on board, or someone hasn't come on board. Now they have to break up their projects into smaller ones. You know, KwaZulu-Natal, we know, is the most populous
province and parts of KwaZulu-Natal have serious infrastructure problems. Now here is an example where we have money, where we have capacity, we have people that are willing to do it, and then these kind of obstacles arise which just are so unnecessary. I mean, there's 881 million rand they're prepared to spend on CapEx. They're only going to spend 500 million because of the problem. It's just not right. So what I want you guys to do is meet in April with the Treasury as well, with the Department, and see if there's not something. As I say, you may not be able to fix it up for this year, but look at that our big issue, and isn't there a possibility to get that thing sorted out? Because clearly you had the plans originally, and then something fell through. I don't know what fell through, but something fell through. And we can't try and sort this out. So we get this capacity thing of you guys working, man. That province we need to move on infrastructure. It's serious in the rural areas, very serious. The whole Zululand creates a lot of problems, although you're not necessarily there. But you know a lot of those people have moved now and they've got all the informal settlements and things like that. So I want to suggest, please, okay, in April, Sotoko, you guys meet in April and see if there's with Treasury, if there's not something we can do, that we can send this money. There it is, it's available, and these guys have got capacity. Well, it's our second biggest utility, okay? And then that problem is necessary. So will that be okay? You guys mean. Otherwise, keep up the good work, and we'll see you guys hopefully next year, and there will be no problem. I would like to see a report on the meeting, okay? Okay. Thanks, members, for staying longer than you had to. Tomorrow we'll start at 9 o'clock. I told you we'll start with Teddy Beng, and you know the others that I told you. So tomorrow morning, okay? And hopefully we'll finish all the water boards, the rest of them tomorrow. We should be able to finish them. Okay, where's the meeting? Yeah. Again, yeah, tomorrow 9 o'clock. Okay, thanks, God.